Larry Mulberry. Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
Did the right thing by calling us. Does your brother sleep a lot?
Yeah, all day.
Does the sunlight freak him out?
He wears sunglasses in the house.
Bad breath, long fingernails.
Yeah, his fingernails are all a bit longer. He always had bad breath, though.
He's a vampire, all right.
All right, here's what you do.
Get yourself a good, sharp stake and drive it right through his heart.
I can't do that. He's my brother.
Okay, we'll come over and do it for you.
No!
You better get yourself a garlic t-shirt, buddy, or it's your funeral.
You got that.
I got it.
Hit your heart on channel 5.
What's that?
I know that laugh.
Hey, everybody! Welcome to the show, the much-delayed Noor Mulberry. But you know what? You waited for it, and we're giving it to you. but good. I don't know what that means.
Wow.
It's like, Jason, think about things
banned.
Before you. I've just been banned from the PS3. I'm sorry, but that's an inside joke there. Only Rick will get that. But hey, everybody, welcome to the show. I'm sorry it's so late. It's an hour late. But we're going to try to do it with just Steven and this guy right here, me. I am the J-Strom. Welcome to Mulberry. Steven the Pop Culture Zone. Hey, Steven,
hey,
how's it doing?
Good.
You know, we had a nice warm-up. We've been talking this whole time, people in the chat room hearing our inane conversations.
They probably go, this is as much I've heard Steven talk ever.
Nice. It's been great, Steven, having you talk. But unfortunately, Bill cannot be with us right now. He's taking care of his dad, and we hope his dad feels a lot better. And maybe Bill could join us later. I don't know. But I have a feeling Bill...
Probably not.
He's busy right now. So it's no big deal if he can't join us. We're going to try to do the best show we can. Right, Steven?
Yes.
But unfortunately, something kind of sad happened this week. We lost Corey Haim. That was really sad, wasn't it?
And, it was kind of weird because I was taking a lunch when I saw that, you know?
Really? Were you just like quoting yourself, death by stereo, and you didn't know why, and then you saw, what? When I immediately when I read that, I was bummed out. I was like, oh, because I thought of like his drug problems and all this stuff, and it's like, oh, he didn't.
And at the end of the two Corey season, he was threatening suicide.
Right.
And you're like going, did he kill himself?
And I know
you don't know what's happened.
They try to do, I don't know if they really did a TV intervention or whatever, but I know that he was really defensive. He seemed like the kind of person who'd be impossible to help. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not going to work. You know, the guy won't accept help. So I was kind of bummed out about that. And I guess it was some kind of drug overdose. I don't know if it was.
They haven't mentioned it yet, have they?
Yeah, I think they did. I just haven't read about it. I think his mom said what it was. I think what it was is an accidental mixture of medication.
Right. And he was seeing some new doctor trying to wean off of Vicodin and
right.
something else.
And you know, a lot of people, my first thing is like, oh, bummer. I didn't think he killed himself. I figured he just OD'd or something. And a lot of people, you know, the cynic voice takes over, just kind of like, oh, what did you expect? And it's like, yeah, I know, but still you can be sad about it because he didn't get help. I don't, you know what I mean? It's just like,
Well, did you watch the interview on King, Larry King?
I actually have a clip of that. You want me to play some of it?
Sure.
Now, I used the part of the clip that I thought was like, I've thought this for a while about all those TMZ shows and stuff. Just how it teaches, you know, the internet is full of cynical assholes with I know it's the internet and you're hiding behind your curtain like the Wizard of Oz or whatever, and you could just talk shit about everybody. But that's basically what the internet is. It's people just being dicks and insensitive because they can, and there's no repercussions.
Remember, I was talking, there's a show, there's a movie with Jamie Kennedy, and it's called Heckler.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to these people on the internet and asks them, well, you know, why are you so,
right.
you know, ragging on me so hard, you know?
Yeah. Cool. I'd like to see that.
It's a pretty, and it's not just him, but they do other stars too, you know, other movie mm-hmm. stars, you know, and it's like, why are you trashing me? You know, you were in Son of the Mask. It was horrible. Yeah, but you say Jamie Kennedy needs to be stopped. It's not his acting sucks or anything else. It's me personally you're attacking.
He's like, you want me to die because I did that?
Yeah. And I mean, it's like
some crappy
like
sequel.
Jamie Kennedy, he's been great in some movies. He's been bad in some.
I loved him in the first Scream movie. He was good in that. I loved him in Bowfinger.
Bowfinger?
You know, just kind of these laid-back roles. Not that one where he's like a white rapper, though. What is that?
And actually, you know, what was it? I can't remember. Yeah,
he's been in some bad movies. But, you know, still, I don't think, when I see him, I think of other actors first that they, but another thing is, no matter how much I feel about a certain actor, what they do, I don't go on the internet and like, I'll show this bastard, you know, I don't
You're
care.
Bashing him personally, you know, it's like, again, like he was saying, you know, yeah, you can trash the acting job I did, but it's really not on me. The director controlled me, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, but people don't think like that. But let's go ahead and let's check out what Corey Feldman says on The Larry King Show about Corey Haim.
You know, in this entertainment industry, in Hollywood, we build people up as children. We put them on pedestals. And then when we decide that they're not marketable anymore, we walk away from them. And then we taunt them and we tease them. And things like TMZ, outlets like that, where it's acceptable in society. It's okay for society as a whole to poke fun at, to point fingers at, to laugh at us as human beings. Why is it okay to kick somebody when they're down? I don't think it is. And I don't think it should be tolerated anymore. I don't think it should be accepted anymore within our society, within the entertainment industry, within the world as a whole.
Did he feel that way?
He very much felt that way. He had nobody to turn to. I was one of the few people he had left in his life. You know, you see these people making great statements, and that's wonderful, and I hope they're all there for the memorial, and I hope they're all there for the funeral. But where were they during his life? And that's something that I believe that everybody in this society needs to hold themselves accountable for. I think that we all need to grow up, and we need to think about every time we laugh at somebody in the tabloids, or every time we poke a finger at somebody and say, they're a joke, or they're fat, or they're a drug addict, or they're washed up, or they're a loser. We need to look at ourselves and say, who am I?
Yeah, but nobody's going to do that, though. You know, I see him there as
great sentiment there, but
yeah, in reality, that's not the way it is. But you know, he just lost his friend, and he's kind of bummed out about it. And you know, I thought it might be good to play this, just kind of think like play a little highlight reel of Corey Haim movies, Dream a Little Dream, License to Drive, Lost Boys, little highlight reel in your head as you listen to this. Okay, Steven? I love you. Good times. Oh, I remember that movie, Steve. Oh, double switch. The Sega CD game worked into my little clip in my head. That's beautiful. Oh, dear. That's uncool.
He was secretly singing that to Corey.
My mind movies, they make my eyes rain. Love it. I love springtime flowers bloom, Stephen.
Springtime flowers bloom. You're a mystery.
That kid is a mystery. Corey Feldman, you know. I'm not going to say what just popped in my head, but I really wish Corey Haim was still with us.
Well,
it's like, why couldn't it have been?
And listen to the interview with him, you know, on Larry King. You know, he's divorcing that girl. It's like,
yeah. You know, he also talked a bit about Corey Haim was working on a sequel to License to Drive called License to Fly. Did you see that? And I was just kind of like, yeah, okay. Yeah, poor guy. It's just, yeah. Poor guy.
Now I could see it. It'd be if it was reverse, you know, License. If it was License Drive 2 with him having a child, you know, a kid.
Jason! Ah, what the hell was that? That scared the crap out of me. I'm scared. Stop it.
Don't you remember?
I'm upset. I remember. Okay. Yes. I remember. Leave me alone. Ah! This is taking an odd turn, Steven. Let's move on. We've got some voicemail.
Just remember.
Yeah. I'm a scared.
Jason.
We've got a voicemail. This one from Adam. Let's check it out.
What's up, Mulberry Boys? This is Adam. Hey, I'm listening to the lunchtime shows. Lunchtime in Mulberry, and it's, you know, they're very good. I'm enjoying them, and I just wanted to let you guys know that they are good. It's good stuff, and it was fun listening to Jason try to stay on the show all by himself and make it interesting without Bill right after Bill had sent the Xbox 360 for Jason's birthday. And I just want to let you guys know also that I have recently started watching Friday Night Lights, upon your recommendation.
Oh, nice.
And it was a great show. And Coach Taylor, that actor, is amazing. And Tammy Taylor, his wife, or whoever plays his wife,
Connie
she's
Britton.
An excellent actress. And me and my wife immediately like their relationship. And we, you know, we talk about it and we talk about things they say. And the other day I was trying to do my poor impersonation of Coach Taylor. And she said, my wife asked me, you like the way he talks, huh? And I was like, I do like the way he talks. And then she said, yeah, me too. So it was cool. But I want to let you guys know I started it. We're on season 2 now, and we're watching it instantly on Netflix. But the only thing that sucks about that is that we just moved, and now we have no internet. So that's kind of crappy. But I just wanted to call and let you guys know that, you know, what's been going on. And I just love your guys' show so much, man. It's just the best podcast out in the entire world.
Whoa.
And, I also want to say, Jason, thanks for shooting me a copy of last year's holiday package.
Oh, no problem.
It was good stuff, and the score is absolutely incredible to listen to. I loved it, and I'll probably go back and listen to it a couple more times. And also, just you guys talking about the history of Mulberry and all that, and talking about what happened with TRX and stuff it was good. It was cool to listen to. So anyways, nice. I will be checking back with you guys later. And kind of running on here, kind of rambling. I'm at Applebee's Carside Go pickup, waiting for my food to come out. That sounded good to all the people that were helping us move, so we're picking up some munchies. And it just reminds me of the Dillon Panthers always meeting at Applebee's.
They kind of didn't have that this season.
Anyways, guys, hey, keep up the good work. I'm looking forward to Tuesday's show. And, talk to you guys later. All right, bye.
All right, Adam.
Thanks. Now you got to get his wife to say, come on, y'all.
Oh, come on, y'all. I love the way
a little Tammy for you. And
that's funny, though, because there used to always be Applebee's in the background. I'm like, are they paying for this show?
I bet they were. They had to have been a sponsor at one point.
Or, you know, the Alamo Freeze, which is basically Dairy Queen. Yeah. That's what happened. Like in Texas, in a lot of places, you'll see where it used to be a Dairy Queen, but it closed down and somebody else opened it as something else.
Dairy Cream, I've seen.
Yeah, or I've even seen, like, Italian places. Like, it's a Dairy Queen, but it's, like, something pizza, and it's like, that's a Dairy Queen. What are they doing? Like, wait, have you ever seen the old Pizza Huts, but it's, like, Chinese buffet? And it's like, what? Could they at least change the roof or something? Because my favorite is the Whataburger, you know, is the big tower, you know, it's like the,
big steeple roof.
Yeah, steeple, but it's something else, you know, I don't know, like some kind of sushi place or something.
Yes, it's weird. Other places other than Texas, they have Dairy Queens that are just strictly ice cream joints.
Really?
They don't sell food.
Weird. So I can't get a dude there?
You can't eat a dude there. You
can't eat a dude. That was like a joke, like, you know, Dairy Queen's everywhere. Elementary school, it's like, hey, man, you know how I know Ronald McDonald's gay? How? So I'm a Dairy Queen eating a dude. It's like, you know, I'm like this little
Why
kid.
Why are you
I'm
mixing like, our, my but pop I'm like, culture there?
I'm 7 years old, though, but so I'm like, do what now? He's eating a dude. But does it mean he's a zombie? How does that make him gay?
It makes him a zombie.
He's a cannibal clown. I don't get it. So it's just like, you know, the joke doesn't really work, Steven. Because that term, you know, I didn't get it. Yeah, well, let's move on, Steven. This has become uncomfortable. What do you think?
Yes.
Open the door, bitch.
Huh?
Easy.
Oh, my God. You know, when we were watching the two Corys and we'd have a good time watching it, it was just kind of silly. We're wondering if it was scripted or whatever. It's just sad that there won't be a season three. That's all. But, hey, we've got Rick. Rick has left us a voicemail here. And let's see what's going on with Rick. Let's see if he talks about being banned from PS3.
Hey guys, it's Rick here again with another fantastic voicemail. Coming at ya. Just eating some chips while I'm doing my voicemail. I thought I'd change it up and do something sexy.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's some crispy stuff. I'm just eating some cheezels. Mm-mm. Cheese of goodness.
Mm, I want some cheese.
That is the MSG spot. Someone said the other day, and I was like, that's the gayest thing I've ever heard. And then I just used it. Tried to steal it. That's the definition of sad. I played the God of War 3 demo. Looks pretty good. You've got to like the God of War games. They are just quality games. If you don't like those games, then you're not a game fan, because they're just true games. Quality goodness. Yeah, that's enough about that.
Okay, let's move on.
But no, like,
on to the cheezels.
The demo, just the way it ends, you're just like, oh man, I want to play that game. So I'm going to be playing that game. And then I went and had a look at some of the previews of it and reviews of it online, and yeah, it just looks spectacular. Yeah, I love those games. Nice and gory. Nice and sexy. I wonder if you can have sex in these ones.
Huh?
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
With the God of War, you can
God of War 3. Strange. Looks sweet.
It's a strange little
My wife
side
would
thing.
Like to say something on the matter as well.
I really like God of War as well. I like watching Rick play it because the game is so damn spectacular. Rick is more of a man after each time he plays.
Thank you, Ellie. she made that up all by herself.
Yeah, thanks, Ellie. I got her to record that yesterday.
I guess she was over your left
editing.
Shoulder.
It looks like it just happened then. Yeah.
Testing out that
That's
left
pretty
channel,
amazing,
right channel.
Rick. Yeah. You're really impressive, you know.
Cheezels. Sponsored by
yeah,
Cheezels.
Yeah, guys, I was listening
God
to
of War, sponsored
well,
by Cheezels.
I'm out of breath for some reason.
He thinks
I was listening
me,
to some old shows. I think when I started to first send voicemails, because you were kind of begging for it and stuff.
No way. Us begging?
Just a little bit.
What is he talking about?
But, yeah, so I was listening back to those episodes, and, you know, you're talking about, you know, having the same amount of fans for a long period of time and wanting to get more fans and stuff. And I just, you know, I had nothing to do, so I was just thinking about it. And, you know, talking about how there are other podcasts, like, dedicated to certain things and whatnot.
Right.
Like you could just do your same normal show, right?
Right.
But then just cut out, you know, Smallville Talk and release that as a different size podcast.
Holy crap.
Rick
just
Robot.
To get some new fans and then kind of link it back and it. Drag them over to the rest of the show.
It's a replicate.
That was just a little idea I had. I thought maybe
yeah,
it would work.
I've thought of that before. It'd just
but
be
it could
a
be like,
lot
you're an idiot,
work.
Rick. This is what's wrong with your statement and don't tell us what to do. You Yeah, sorry.
Well, you're
I didn't
kind
mean
of
to tell you what to do. I was just saying maybe a good
podcast.
Idea. And also,
he means like take the lost segment and just.
Have
do
you
a
ever
lost
thought
podcast?
About just charging for the enhanced feed? You know, you put a little bit more effort into it. Maybe you deserve a little bit more for it. That's all I'm saying. I'd pay
the odd
every
quarter
week
here
for
and
the
there.
Enhanced feed. You know, just to support you guys. So you could think about doing that as well, but. Yeah, that's me thinking too much at work. So have a good show, guys, and I'll catch you later. This was Rick from Australia.
Oh.
I'm thinking...
Whoa, cheezels. Those sound good.
We make
they?
Nowhere Milbury shirts. Send mm-hmm. them to Rick... then he can wear them in his backwards videos advertising for us.
Right. It's like they watch it and they go, that's a neat shirt he's got on. I wonder where I can pick that up. I want a Cheezels shirt more than anything. Cheezels. But,
we'll,
you know
we'll
what?
Trade you some Nowhere in Mulberry shirts for some Cheezels, Rick.
Yeah, even trade. No, Rick, I've actually thought about that before, like doing a Lost podcast. It definitely wouldn't be Smallville, but like do Lost by itself. And I was thinking about doing this even, not charging for it or anything, but doing a Lost segment video for YouTube where I add clips from the show, maybe pictures or whatever, to what we're talking about. And then I thought about it, it's like – That sounds like a lot of work, but also what's the return on that? I don't know. I mean, I know there's a shitload of Lost podcasts. If you look in iTunes, there's a lot of Lost podcasts.
But there's not a lot of Smallville podcasts.
There's the House of L podcast. But I've thought about that. You know, from time to time, I'll start to think about it, like, how do we get more listeners? And then I'm like, you know, who gives a shit? Let's just do the show every week and put it out.
I thought about doing flyers and just going to go to the bathrooms at the airport.
Yeah, it's like, what's all this then? You know, or something like
that. Stick it on the wall in front of the urinal when you're peeing. We're in Mulberry.
You know, see, and ideally what you would do is give people, before they're about to get on an airplane, free MP3 player loaded with all of our shows. It's like, free MP3 player. And it's like, oh, okay, well, let's do it on board. And they have to listen to our show because they're captive audience on an airplane, right? But where do you get free MP3 players? That'd be expensive, Steven. We can't do that. But maybe we can get, you know, Richard Branson to shell out the bucks for us to do that. Wouldn't that be awesome? We could team up
with Virgin and they can play us on the airline.
Totally. That would be cool. Like, they have to. The official airline of Cheezels and Nowhere in Mulberry.
Gotta be Cheezel on the tail wing instead of the Virgin.
I want to see the logo to Cheezels. But, you know, I just thought of something.
As you can tell, we don't have Cheezels here, Rick.
Yeah, I've never even heard of them.
I'm assuming they're a lot like our Cheetos.
Yeah, Cheetos or something like that. But also the Cheese Puffs. There's also the, what is that, Bullseye does their brand of Cheetos. You know what I mean?
Maybe we might have Cheezels and we just don't know it.
Right. We'd have to go look. But I was going to say, you know, since we don't have Bill here, we most likely won't have him here for, like, the DVD segment. If somebody wants to find a list of the DVDs coming out this Tuesday, Steven, they can call us later on the show and do the DVDs for us.
Wow.
I want somebody to do that because I'm doing the show right now. I can't look online right now. I'm too busy. Because
if he reads, he gets that sexy voice going.
Yeah, totally. You know, I'd be like,
read it.
Today's DVDs sponsored by Cheezels. But seriously, guys,
the Wahlstrom family.
If you're listening right now and you've always wanted to do the DVD segment, look them up and you can call later on the show. You can call by telephone or Skype. Just somehow you'll need to get me that message. I don't know. I haven't thought this through. I'll figure it out as we're doing the show. But, Steven, let's go ahead and get into entertainment! Ah, yes. Entertainment!
As we go into break,
I got it.
Bring up the chat room and see if anybody will do it. Ask at break time who wants to do it, maybe.
Totally, I will. And see if anybody's out there for us.
Eat it, Harvey.
Huh? Who's Harvey?
That way you're not blindsided by it.
So, you know, that would be cool. It's something special, you know. I wish Adam was around. I'd love for him to do the DVDs for us or somebody like that. Or, you know, I'm not picking favorites. I was just throwing that out there. Anybody could do it. Now, Steven, we'll briefly hit on two movies. Green Zone by Paul Greengrass came out with Matt Damon. Mm-hmm. People are calling it Bourne Zone because it looks like a Jason Bourne movie. And I'm a big fan of Paul Greengrass and his shaky cam. I love his kinetic action sequences, and I love Matt Damon's rugged good looks. So I'm I had to say that while you were drinking. Sorry about that.
Wow.
But it looks pretty cool, I
guess.
Glad
I didn't have a mouthful.
And, of course, every week I have to see what Ebert said about something, and he said that he was saying that, look, people, it's not a documentary. It's a work of fiction. Get over it. It's an entertaining film. Okay? Because some people are like, oh, this didn't happen. But it's like it's fictional story, you know? So I guess people need to get over that. But also this cool movie called She's Out of My League with Jay Baruchel. Baruchel. You know, he's from Undeclared, the Judd Apatow TV series, which I love. That's the first thing I ever remember seeing him. He played Seth Rogen's friend in Knocked Up.
Yeah, he was the one with the mohawk kind of haircut.
Yeah, he had the Canadian tattoo. Remember that?
Yeah.
And he was, like, talking about shaving his pubes. Remember that?
Yeah.
And he's like, you don't have a bunch of hair flowing in the toilet again or whatever. He's like, I'm all embarrassed. But he's hilarious, and I really want to see this. It's about, I guess, a nerdy guy who's with a hot chick and people just can't get over it. You know what I mean?
I was thinking there was something else that I wanted to see. This.
I know what it is. Clash of the Titans in 3D.
But that's...
Release the Kraken. Am I right?
It's closer to April, though, isn't it?
I see that. You know, a lot of people are knocking 3D now, and I say it like this. 3D is perfect for a film like Clash of the Titans, which is not like Green Zone or something more serious affair. This looks like a ridiculous creature feature, lots of action, sword, epic sorcery, 3D, Medusa, snake hair shit come flying at you. That's what it's for.
Or spitting her venom at you.
But also, a knock 3D all you want, but you cannot tell me that Tron Legacy does not excite you in 3D. Have you seen the trailer to that, Steven?
Yes, I have.
It looks badass, and it's going to be awesome in the 3D. I am so ready. But I think
out the old Tron first one. And
hell yeah. You know, that was on in HD this week on HD Net. And I recorded it, so I'm going to watch it later. But
I have on in HD Howard the Duck.
Awesome! What channel did that come on? I didn't see that.
I don't know what channel it was on. Awesome. It was on. It was on DirecTV on like Showtime or something. HD Showtime
or Stars maybe.
Stars.
Maybe it's that because I don't have that. But I was going to say that I think what are pissed about 3D is Hollywood now, because it's the success of Avatar. They're just slapping 3D on things that in 3D. And they're missing the whole point of what James Cameron was trying to do, which is ideally film your movie in the 3D process where it is optimal to see it in that. Where a lot of times, you know, past 3D features, it's a little too dim and you don't get the same kind of excitement you do from seeing it the way it should be screened with a bright picture. You know, when we saw Avatar, it looked nice and bright. It wasn't all dim.
It looked like a regular movie, yeah.
Right. So I think that's what a lot of people are complaining about. Of course, Hollywood doesn't get the picture there. Sorry about that. I had a scratchy throat for a second. But anyway, enough of that. Let's get into it. What's on our TiVo? Oh, man. What's going on? I got a scratchy throat, Steven.
Goodness.
I think I'm okay now.
No more Skittles.
I'm calling a sub for me now, Steven.
You don't want me doing this by myself again.
Okay. I'm good.
Get yourself a good sharp steak.
I got one.
Huh? I love steak. Yeah, that would be nice. Now, Steven, this will be awesome. Andy Richter this week surprised me. I had the TV on. Regis and Kathleen came on with special guest host Andy Richter. And I was like, huh? So I was like, awesome. So I sat there and watched that. And I was hoping they'd talk a little about the late night, you know, Tonight Show debacle on NBC. And he did have some things to say about it, which is cool. So let's go ahead and check this out. I thought it was pretty cool that he opened up about it. And by the way, before I play this clip, you know, Conan has announced he's doing a tour. He's doing like this... what is it? Not allowed to be on TV tour or whatever. He's going to, I believe, Max Weinberg and his band, and he's going to be there. At least he said he's going to be there. And the writers. So they're going to put on some kind of crazy live show, and they're coming to Dallas, and I already got tickets for us. And the only thing we're worried about is if you can get the day off.
I'm going to take a vacation week. I'll have to.
Nice. So we're going to go see Conan live.
I'll take it all. I'll take the vacation week for Conan.
Nice, because it'll be sweet. And I've also heard the rumors that, you know, wherever they go, they'll try to find guests in that city. So maybe they'll get some...
Mark Cuban, maybe?
Yeah, some...
No, I'm just saying, you know, that's the one
somebody
I'm kind of...
better than that.
Well, I mean, he's a pretty interesting character, though.
Yeah, he's a goofy-looking bastard. But no, but yeah, they're a lot of hometown type of eccentric characters. I think it'll be a lot of fun. And, you know, I almost think like this, almost like a you go around the country during the summertime, maybe I don't know if he's got a show yet or what's going on there, but maybe generate a buzz about his live show and then bring it to television. I think that'd be cool.
I mean, especially since he's seen now how much you know, he's got the Twitter following.
Right.
What's it up to now? Because I just I
don't. It's a lot.
I obviously I started following it.
And you see what he did is he's following one person, some girl. All of a sudden she had, I don't know, she had something like 8 followers. Now she's got like thousands because he's like, I'm going to change your life. And now she's
Why
got like.
Why couldn't it have been PCZ Steve?
I know. It's like Millward Mulberry, the official podcast or whatever. Or Cheezels or something like that. But
we're big fans, Coney. Come on.
She couldn't afford her wedding and stuff. And now she has sponsors. She got a free wedding dress and stuff. So she's getting all sorts of swag. So that's pretty cool.
Can't afford my wedding either. Oh, wait, I'm not having one. Sorry, guys. Didn't get your hopes up.
No. Lots of women were like, what? So it's
all
okay,
all
ladies.
Of our female listeners. Yeah, yes.
It's okay, ladies. Calm down. He's not hit
Still
yet.
Single.
All right, let's check this out.
Is this your first time on TV since all of the, let's call it, hullabaloo went down?
Yes, it is. I mean, I've been trying to find wherever CNN's been shooting and jump around in the background. but no, this is, and I actually can be on TV.
You're allowed
like,
to be on TV.
Yes. Conan can. In fact, I'm not even sure I can say his name.
Does that mean that you didn't get the big money pay? I've heard upwards of $47 million.
Honestly, this is the thing that, and it was immediately irritating to people that worked on the show. Because, I mean, from stagehands to producers, they're getting all these emails and Facebook things about like, well, huh, you know, enjoy your golden parachute and stuff.
Right.
It's not like that.
It's not like that?
It's not like that at all. In fact, Conan is putting a lot of his own money out there. He formed a little corporation just to pay people.
Do you have any ill feelings towards NBC and Jay? Not that you're going to be honest, but go ahead. Go for it.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Why wouldn't I? Great. Why wouldn't I? I mean, my God, I'd be like... I'd be
a
like
sage.
Some sort of self-hater.
Sage.
I mean, if I, no.
Sage Andy Richter.
No, I mean, NBC, definitely. Everybody said they were going to do something. And then they didn't.
Right.
You know, they all said years ago, we're going to do something. And then they didn't. Mm. And, you know, and there was all kinds of talk about our ratings not being very good. But they were pretty good all summer.
Sure.
And then our lead-in changed.
Right.
And they weren't so good anymore.
It's very hard, I would think, to have a lead-in for a nighttime talk show that is a nighttime talk show.
Yes. It was very difficult. And it was... I don't think it was a good plan.
So, you know, basically what he's saying there is had NBC wanted them to stay, they would have said a good lead-in. Well, they would have said, well, you didn't have a decent lead-in. The Jay Leno show was a flop. Therefore, you didn't have a good audience joining you. But instead, to show that they weren't behind them on The Tonight Show, they were like, well, your ratings are bad. Even though they knew... that it was really not their fault. It was who there was a lead in. People didn't want to watch the Jay Leno show. Therefore, they didn't watch the newscast afterwards. Therefore, there was no one there to watch The Tonight Show when it started. So that's basically the way it works. But another thing is, you know, I guess I understand programming like that, but we live in the DVR age. I don't watch NBC News anyway. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm not watching whatever comes on before that anyway. So I still don't understand all that crap, the rating stuff, you know?
They don't pertain to today anymore.
It just seems,
like you said, with DVRs, TiVos.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, if you want to go back to VCRs even back in, you know.
Yeah, how do they know? I don't know. But anyway,
I used to record Conan's show on NBC at midnight, you know, on my VCR back in
But
years.
There was no way to tell that, hey, this guy was watching this all this time, you know what I mean? But I love Conan, and I really hope he does get a new show. And I thought Andy was great on there also. Now, Steven, let's go ahead and get right into Seducing Cindy. You know, the awesome Cindy Margolis show.
I was watching some of it.
awesome. Did you see the part where the guy overcooked the Hot Pockets?
Yes.
And
got it bashed into his face.
The guy was like, here, hold it. It looks like a mask. And he was like, bam, slammed the plate in his head. And he's like, oh. Now, I know the guy's a real wimp, but still, wouldn't you punch that guy for doing it?
I would have killed the guy, you know.
He's like, oh, dude, I'm so sorry. You know what was funny?
You weren't sorry because you did it, dude.
That was the rocker guy, Chris Noel. And
God,
he,
that guy is...
He has a hilarious part later, though. Did you like that where he's like, I got something to say. I'm addicted to strippers. And I love porn. And it's like, where is this going, man? And he was basically... She was saying, whoever I pick to stay will get to meet my son next week. So he was like, whoa, 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 hold on. I'm a pervert. I love strippers. I love porn. I'm thinking I should just bow out right now. It's like... Yeah, I think you should.
You know what? I don't know how you got on the show looking the way you do anyways.
He looks like a nerdy guy who decided to get tattoos and look like a rock star, but he doesn't. He just looks like he's in a costume.
I mean, that the dyed jet black beard that's, you know, a foot long, and then it's shaved, and then he has sideburns.
And, you know, they go to...
Connect it!
I know. They go to a restaurant, Cindy's restaurant, and she's like, you need to stay in the back. You're scaring the customers.
Oh.
That was funny. He's like, yeah, well, I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, they think you're cooking something. I don't want you touching any food.
Right. And, okay, this clip has to do with our favorite guy, Jeffrey James. He's a... you know, he's no
an actor.
What would you say? Flow? What is that? He's the art of flow.
He is.
Whatever you call it. He's a martial artist, but also he's like was in, he's a spec ops medic. He was in the special forces, right? That's what spec ops means, right?
Yep.
I have had the worst diarrhea of my goddamn life last night.
Yeah, that's goddamn, not what we're talking about, all right, man?
Yeah, I was trying to watch
Jeffrey
the show.
James.
It is such a pain to watch.
It is.
The level of martial arts that Bruce Lee called flow.
Oh, okay. So this week, all the guys are like, you know what? This dude has never drank. Let's get him shit-ass drunk and where he just confesses, you know, his defenses lower. And then everyone can tell how full of shit he is, basically. So in this moment here... They all question him about his military background, and I gotta say, it does sound like he's making it all up on the spot. Did you see this part?
No, I did not.
Now, it's kind of, everybody's talking at once. I'm just try to hear what he's saying here.
When I was the Gulf War,
Desert Storm.
You were in Gulf War.
Desert Shield before Desert Storm.
When is Jeffrey James lying? When his lips are moving.
We just had our crew strike. There were five of us there. Three died, and one guy got injured, okay? And I got injured. And I dragged that guy.
Purple Heart?
Yeah. I dragged that guy 300 miles.
300 miles?
Whoa. He hiked, like, 300 miles, hiked this guy out. And he said he earned a Purple Heart, which all of us are just looking at him and saying it's, you know.
At headquarters, there was a calendar, and it had, guess, you know who.
Come on, dude. I think he's this way.
Guys pulling too many cards that just don't exist.
Yeah. You're claiming you have a heart?
Yeah.
He pulls up his pant leg and he has a little scar like that big. It's another one of the stories from Jeffrey James.
Like, what else did you get?
Silver Star.
Silver Star.
It's like Valor, kind of.
They just really drilled me and picked me apart, and I answered all the questions for him. And I think that kind of helped him realize, okay, you know, he is real. It's just hard to believe real.
No, that's
so, that was good. That made me feel better.
I would have done anything anybody else would have done.
Jeffrey James is off his rocker, and he's in a dream, and he needs to wake up. He's in a fantasy.
And you know, it's funny, when they were at the restaurant, he was like, you know, Cindy, I have been at your restaurant before. She was like, really? And he goes, worst experience of my life. And she was like, that is uncool. And she was like pissed off at him for that. She was like, I'm ready to get rid of his ass. You know, I'm sick of him. I don't know who he is or what. But he gets picked to go on a date with her because he wins the cooking challenge that they do. So they're sitting there out in the camping or whatever, and she's just thinking about how she needs to get rid of him. And he starts telling the story about the man he saved and dragged 300 miles.
And he goes,
there was... the base, and
that's the width of the country, I think.
He's like, there was a picture on the wall. It was your calendar, Cindy Margolis' calendar, and I'd look at that. You're in a bikini, like a California beach. Remind me, that's home. One day I'll be able to go back. And he's like, and she was like, oh my God.
Is his hand in his pocket? He's plucking leg hairs out so he can cry.
Yeah. But she's like,
he's deeper than
really,
I thought.
His story really touched my heart. And it's like, oh, come on. He's full of shit. So at the end, he stays. And the nerdy guy from last week who said he would give up his heart for her, he gets to go home. So unfortunately, they keep Jeffrey. And you know what? Really, the reason they're doing it is because it's entertaining to keep the douchebag around on these shows. But it still is funny.
It's like, see how many lies this guy can tell. 300 miles drag somebody. Okay, 30 miles.
Yeah,
I think I could have bought 30. I could have bought 30 miles.
Right.
And that would be pushing it, 30.
You know what's funny is she had her brother there, and he really liked the meal he made, so he had to pick him. And he goes, I don't like you. You seem really arrogant. You seem full of yourself. I don't like your personality. Something about you I just don't like. But unfortunately, I'm going to have to pick you because you made a really awesome meal. So you get to be part of the day. So he's like, all right. And she's like, oh, figures. But I thought it was funny. He's like, I don't like you at all. There's something about you rubs me the wrong way. Because she's like, my brother, he's here. He really can tell who's right for me. And you could tell he's like, I don't want to pick you, but you're the only one who could cook worth a damn. You know, one guy, the Chris Noel, he's like, I made you a PB&J, put some honey on it. She's like, oh, thanks. It's like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Guy's such a dumbass. And the one nerdy guy who would give up his heart, he grabbed he took a cake out of the little display and he put ice cream around it and whipped cream. And he's like, here's what I made you. It's like the cake was already made. You didn't make anything. But anyway, it was hilarious.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. It was crazy.
Oh, my God.
I know. Seriously.
I could have been.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, my God.
All right. Stop enough it. With the God stuff.
Holy
There we go. Yeah,
all right. All right, Steven, let's talk about kitchen nightmares. This thing is a nightmare. Now, what was this? The place was called Le Bistro. And it was in South Florida, right? And the community looked beautiful. What was it? Lighthouse Estates or something. I don't remember what it was. But it looked really pretty. But they had this hoity-toity chef.
Did he have like a Michelin star at some point or something?
I think so. Or he studied under a Michelin chef in Paris, just like Gordon Ramsay did. And you can immediately see that the guy just wants to do things his way. He has this weird system. We'll talk about that later.
Cook
but
one meal at a time.
They only have one waiter for a reason, because he doesn't want to be swamped with orders. So the waiter has to take his time going around. Meanwhile, everyone's waiting. And my favorite part in this is when Gordon's like, I got an idea. And he runs down to another restaurant and he orders something, comes back, and they say it'll take 10 minutes. He goes back 10 minutes later, picks it up, sits down and eats. Meanwhile, everyone's still waiting for their meals. And he's like, this is delicious. And he goes and gets the wife, and he's like, I just ordered this, and it took 10 minutes, and it's delicious. So just, you know, that's, you know, I just want to point out that restaurants should not be run the way your husband is doing it. But let's go ahead and check this out, because it's funny. You know, whenever Gordon Ramsay comes into a restaurant, you can either accept that you need help or be defensive. This guy's defensive, right?
Yeah.
Right. That was interesting. So that was you at your best.
That was my best I've ever done in my career. You mean the best here, or do you mean, is that the best food we have?
Yes or no? I mean, was that I asked you to cook for me and just
cicadas.
Tell me how that was for you.
That was good for this restaurant. It's good for here.
That's all right.
Here's the problem. The food's old-fashioned and totally, totally out of text in terms of where you are.
That's your opinion.
The food is sad. Stuck in the 80s. Possibly the most shocking dish anywhere in Florida. The crispy lamb roll. What in the hell was going on when we put that one together? Shredded coconut. Horrible rubbery texture. Almost on the verge of being depressing.
Any more you want to put me down for?
the Briette. I don't know if anyone gave you feedback, but it was on the verge of breaking my tooth.
Oh, right, I'm supposed to believe that.
You're not looking at me now as if I'm exaggerating. Was full of cartilage.
I'm listening to what you're saying. Nobody, I didn't know. No one told me.
No one told you.
Hey, man, you found your bones on the dirt.
That doesn't go away.
2 seconds, sir.
Yeah.
Do you not tell the chef that the first mouthful was full of cartilage?
Yeah, I did.
I told him.
You told me to go away.
When your waiter comes to tell you valuable information, you should know those kind of things, right? Can I just have 2 minutes with Andy Meyer? Would you mind, Ellen? Would you mind? Honestly?
Yeah.
Straight up? I'm here to help.
So far, all you're doing is just slam me down. That's all you've done with me.
I think it's about you.
Don't blame me. I know you are, yeah. He's not my chef. He's not... We don't work for him.
You're the chef owner.
Right.
So why won't you take responsibility?
I'm the chef. You don't like it? That's fine. It's your opinion. You don't like it. We're no good. I'm lousy. Whatever.
Mate, do you have issues?
Get in there. I say it's terrible.
Well, what's terrible about it?
He wants to meet the Raya.
Son, go himself.
Yeah.
Wow. The funniest part is when Gordon shows up when he's doing a cooking class and he walks in. He's like, what the hell? And Gordon like sits down. He's like, does it usually smoke that much when you're cooking your steak? And he's like, just getting pissed off. He's like, take the piss out of me in my class. It was pretty funny. And yeah, that's basically the gist of what happens there. But there's also this funny moment that I thought was kind of funny. Because everything escalates. Everything's got to, you know, get bigger and bigger. And the music swells, you know. Oh, yep. My God, everything's going to blow up. Because all he does is he says, what is with your system of one waiter? Everyone's waiting forever to get their food. You're back there cooking one thing at a time. And doesn't he have a sous chef that doesn't do anything?
Stands around kind of looking. It's like, why do you have him then?
Yeah, it didn't make any sense. So he's like, why doesn't he go in there? But of course, he gets on the defensive again and all hell breaks loose. Let's check this out. This is pretty exciting television.
Why do you take all the tables?
Order.
That's what they want.
Who?
Oh. Me.
So what's the rationale behind it, the logic?
It helps the space a little bit, buys a few minutes.
There's three of you in the kitchen.
Like I said, I don't know if you're hard of hearing, but there's one person cooking. That's me.
Food, they rated 3 out of 10. But the most important question was, would they come back? And about 78% of them said no.
No.
And the weird thing about the whole service tonight, every time something comes back, as far as you're concerned, your customers are wrong.
Oh, that's your evaluation.
That's what I watched.
Don't make you right and me wrong about every single thing.
Oh, my God.
You have to be a
because you act like such a every time.
Thing.
It's like a competition between you and I.
You don't intimidate me.
What?
You're trying to bully me. That's all you're trying to do.
You're so wrapped up in a deluded little bubble, and not one person has got the balls to tell you the truth. It's not working. You are blatantly ignorant.
Whatever. You. Come on. Well, you're one-sided. That's all you want to do, man. Excuse me.
Oh, no.
Holy shit.
The restaurant imploded.
Oh, my God. All those lives.
Here's the artillery on us.
Oh, they use artillery on him. And do you remember the part where he takes him? He's like, hey, I'm going to take your wife and you on a yacht. It's going to be awesome. He's like, come down below. And his like captive audience, he can't leave. And they're like, here's your past customers. They have something to say to you. He's like, oh, I'll have none of this. But what's weird is every episode they just turn around. He goes, come outside. You got to pull together. This is your business. Do you want to lose it? And he's like, my God, he's right. Gordon Ramsay's right.
Wait, we're losing money?
I changed my mind. And he goes back and everything turns like, around.
In 3 days.
Yeah. And everything's back to normal.
Didn't it used to take a week, not just 3 days before?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, they used to – I guess that guy – he was a real chef, but he was just grumpy.
He didn't have to teach him how to cook.
Yeah, and he had a clean kitchen, too. He didn't have to worry about all the veggies being rotten and rotten chicken and stuff like that. But, yeah, Kitchen Nightmares, it is what it is. I'm always entertained by it, even though it seems rushed now. Then it seems like they took a little bit more time in season one to me. Right. This is season three, I think.
I guess, something three or four.
Who knows? But Gordon Ramsay cracks me up. And, you know, he's got a new show. I have no idea when it's premiering, but it's called, like, Gordon Ramsay's Master Chef. Sounds kind of like Top Chef to me. But I can't wait till that premieres.
That's
it's going to be pretty cool.
He'll be the decision judge, I guess. And
yeah, that'll be cool. Any of
those cooking shows are fine like that.
Now, Stephen, let's take a break. And here's what I want. If anybody wants to do the DVD segment of the show this week, you know, we're going to talk about 24, Lost, and Spartacus. And then we're going to do, you know, we don't have Bill to do the news. Yeah, we don't have Bill to do the news.
And it's already late anyways. Yeah. Wherever everyone's
at. We're going to, the show won't be that much longer. So here's what I want you to do. Email me at nimpodcast@gmail.com or tweet me at twitter.com/thejstrom or tell me in the chat room. And stuff like that. So anyway, I'm going to play the break now and I'm going to check out the chat room and stuff. Anybody interested? If you're not, I don't know what to do. We're just going to have to end the show. So really, somebody, we're begging. We're desperate here. We need somebody to do the DVDs for us. Will anyone answer the call? Steven, we're desperate here. What am I going to do? Look up DVDs myself? Come on.
It's not like you have a computer in front of you.
Yeah, that's not my job. What am I supposed to do there, huh? Come on. It's ridiculous.
Tom, go
f***
yourself.
Yeah.
Easy. Hey, dude, what the hell? I'll kick your ass.
Don't intimidate me.
Oh, okay. I'm not intimidating him, Steven. So, anyway, let's take a break and we'll be right back.
You are blatantly ignorant.
Whatever.
Shelley Long tells how her comedy competition with Bette Midler produced some outrageous results.
Well, she's doing something interesting and exciting. I'll do something interesting and exciting.
Then Jenna Rollins stars as Betty Ford in the true-to-life tale of the former First Lady, plus country music's first family, The Judds, all on Entertainment This Week. Tonight at 7 on WSBN 7.
Hi, I'm Woodsy Owl, and I'm here to tell you about a dirty word, water pollution. Kids, it's up to us to keep our lakes and streams clean and beautiful. We've been polluting the water with all kinds of junk, like paper, cans, and gooey gunk. It looks ugly, and it's killing our fish and ducks. Please don't throw junk in the water. Give a hoot. Don't pollute.
In the city or in the woods, help keep America looking good.
People's Court, weekdays at 4:30 on WSBN 7.
Happy Babies will return after these messages. Special today.
Day for apple, day for jack.
Nothing could be finer at Apple Jack Diner.
Apple sweet, apple jack.
Fried and crunchy, fun to eat.
What'll it be?
Hey, give me my usual breakfast treat.
Real apples makes Kellogg's Apple Jacks the apple-y sweet part of this complete breakfast.
Let's all order a cake. Fun to eat.
An apple-y sweet.
Welcome, freshmen, to Montclair High School. This year, this class is special because this year, this class is challenged.
Oh, great.
How come so big? Are you gonna be late? Why is everyone older than you?
Do you have a pass?
Oh, I'm looking for my homeroom.
I need your pass.
I'm new here.
I need your pass.
If you go in the right direction, how come you just don't know what to do?
Welcome to Agronomy 2.
Whoops. By the end of the day, you'll find in your place. Learning the ropes, learning the pain. Time to get away to a familiar face. Good time for the grade.
50 pages tonight?
Oh, great.
It's a good time for the grade.
Tomorrow will be better.
You mean we gotta go back?
Little Hershey's Kisses have big, big chocolate. Little Hershey's
Hershey's Kisses have big, big chocolate. Little Kisses have a big chocolate. You're gonna love. They got little silver wrappers. They got tiny little flappers. They got big, big chocolate. They live in great big bags. Little Hershey's Kisses have big, big chocolate. Little Kisses have a big chocolate. You're gonna love.
Stay tuned for Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Come on, get up off that chair.
Right after Muppet Babies.
Watch me trick Fred out of his new Fruity Pebbles with lime green. Good night, Mike.
Crocodile Bondee.
If you don't give him green, me Crocodile gets mean. He's after your Fruity Pebbles, Mike. New lime malicious Fruity Pebbles.
What? Dino? Morning, my pebbles!
See you later, alligator!
Fruity Pebbles cereal, now with lime green. Bottomless, nutritious breakfast. Yabba-dabba delicious.
Watch me trick Fred out of his new Cocoa Pebble cereal with more cocoa. It's Super Cocoa Man!
How you doing?
Not so super. Need more cocoa to save the day.
Try my new more chocolatey Cocoa Pebbles.
Mmm.
How's it taste?
Super Cocoa Nursery Cocoa-licious.
Barney!
Time to save more than the day.
New Post Cocoa Pebbles with more cocoa. Part of a nutritious breakfast. Yabba-dabba delicious.
Sure, we all love these new peanut butter and fudge giggles cookies. The faces are really,
amusing.
Yeah, amusing. And the two kinds of cream peanut butter and fudge are really...
Excellent.
But those giggles commercials when kids are laughing, slapping tables, it just doesn't happen.
New peanut butter and fudge giggles cookies. Two kinds of cream in each funny face.
It doesn't happen.
I'd like to have me some fun.
Have me some fun.
I'm gonna have me some fun.
Give us a break, Thornburg.
Eat it, Harvey.
Yeah, eat it, Harvey. Now, I've heard from no one. I've checked my email and my Twitter. Now I'm checking the chat room. Is anyone going to come through for us and do the DVDs? I don't know yet. We'll see. I'll keep checking, Steven. If not, we're going to just have to...
Sean, John, Chip.
All right, Sean.
Sean.
Yeah. Sean, you're going to take a shot at the DVDs. Let's do the DVDs. Oh, wait, Steven, I'm stealing your thunder there.
Easy.
Awesome. Now, you can call us on the phone at... here, I'll type in the number at 818... 935-5132. Or you can call us on Skype now. But first, we're going to do us some 24, man, because this shit is off the hook. Now, I'm lying, of course. But you know what? I'm watching this long 24 episode, kind of bored, hard to hang in there. But there's this one kid. He's half American, half fake nationality that it is on the show, right? His mom, Mayor Winningham, thinks that he's going to meet her because he says, you need to get out of town now, out of New York, because, you know, dirty bomb's going to go off, right? Well, he's locked himself in an oxygen chamber, whatever it's called, and Jack's trying to talk him out. So he's like, I know, I'm going to get his mom here and try to talk some sense to him. Now she does. She's like, please, honey, you can't do this. And he's like, Mom, I'm sorry. After what they did to Dad, apparently his dad did something, ruined his name, and he killed himself, and he blames the government. So the mom fails. It's not going to work. He's still going to do his duty and blow himself up, right? But Jack, he has a different idea. His mom walks away. Jack's like, I'm going to spend a moment here with this guy by myself. Hold on a second. So Jack has a conversation with the kid with the bomb. Let's check this out.
Detonate that vest. Your mother dies too.
That's what I would do.
What did you say?
Didn't catch
you. You heard me. I'm gonna make sure your mother's in Manhattan when that dirty bomb goes off.
You don't even know what the target is.
I'm not talking about her dying during the explosion. I'm going to personally escort her to the blast site so she's exposed to the radiation.
What a bastard.
I don't believe you. You wouldn't do that. You're a federal agent.
No, I'm not.
Truth is, I'm not really. Well, not anymore.
I'm retired.
I'm more of a specialist that they brought in for today. If you knew who I was and things I've done before in my life, you would know that I'm not bluffing. So go ahead. Blow yourself up into a million little pieces. First thing I'm going to do is going to make your mother come in here and clean it up.
Whoa.
And then I'm going to take her to the blast site. Do you know how long it takes a human body to absorb a lethal dose of cesium-137? 5 seconds. Followed by 12 days of pain. It's so agonizing. Morphine can't even touch it. Whoa. You got a decision to make. Make it carefully.
You're not going to hurt my mother.
I'm playing with you. You look into my eyes. Look in my eyes! You think I'm joking? What happens to your mother is because of you. Only you.
If I open the door and I come out, you promise you won't hurt her.
I'm a wimp.
You promise you'll be alone.
I give you my word.
Lord, what the hell?
Loves his mommy.
Aww.
Put your hands up now. Walk towards me. Move! Down on your knees. Put your hands behind your head and interlock your fingers. Don't you move. Cole, I got four lights on. Damn it! Cole, I got four lights on.
When he bombed first, now the suspect's come out of the chamber, but he's managed to arm the vest. I repeat, he has armed the vest.
When he bombed text, hit it, disable it now.
Bomb ticks. Come on. Get the bomb ticks.
They're wearing it. Yes, I think so. Hang up right now and transmit the failsafe. Let's move.
Keep your men back. I know the circuit pattern. I'm looking for four common leads before I can disarm it.
Oh, shit.
What's happening? What is that?
Tick, tock, tick.
Bolden must have triggered a failsafe. Get your men back now.
Hey, when that happens.
Get this off of me. I'm going to try to stay calm. Mom! Get out of here now!
It really is a sissy.
Marcos, I might not be able to do this in time. I need to know what the target is.
I don't know.
How are they going to smuggle the fuel rods into the city past the radiological detectors?
I don't know. I swear!
Give me a name. Damn it, Marcos! Give me a name!
President Hassan's head of security, Taryn Farouz.
Taryn Farouz, did you get that call?
Copy!
What does it all mean?
I can't tell my mother I'm sorry.
Oh, that a dirty bomb where I'm from.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, it was a dirty bomb.
It's hilarious when the bomb goes off. Jack does, like, this spin in the air and lands. It's hilarious. And, we had our favorite Jimmy James from News Radio calling Starbuck. He's like, hey, I have to talk to you about something. If you won't talk to me, I could call your superior. She's like, no, I'll do it. It's just like, ugh. So we'll see more of Jimmy James next week. This was they'd show little boxes. You know how they do on the show of people? They'd show Jimmy James driving. Like, it's like, he's on his way. But you'll have to wait till next week to see him arrive.
See, but it's only a 24-hour period.
I just love Jack. He's like, I'm going to expose your mom to radiation. It's going to be painful. He's like, no. Cut it out. The guy, what was that weird like sound he made? What the hell is that?
That's blubbering.
I don't believe you.
What, the guy's a wimp.
What did you say?
Oh, nothing. Sorry. I just said you're a wimp is all.
I don't believe you.
It's true, dude. Did you hear the way you groaned just then?
I want to go home. I don't want to be a terrorist anymore.
Sorry, kid. There's no do-overs. All right?
You're an idiot.
Get yourself a good sharp steak.
Exactly. Now, Bill's not here. I was about to say, now Steven Lost was awesome this week.
Good show.
Dr. Linus, it was called. And I thought this was like the best episode of the season so far. I mean, I just really got into the whole Ben thing and the sideways storyline where he's a teacher and the dick reporter from Die Hard is the principal. Yeah. And also he's the environmental protection agent from Ghostbusters. Remember, yep. He shuts it down. He's fantastic. Will Atherton, I believe is his name. He's always great. And he was great as the principal here. And I love the whole story basically about getting power, becoming the principal. And it was suggested by Locke, of all things. He's like, why don't you try to be the principal? And he's like, who would listen to me? And he goes, I would, you know. And they have Dr. Arnst there. He's kind of a weasel. And, you know, it's funny. It's like, okay, so three people from Oceanic 815.
Work
at the same place. School. Which is funny. Oh, actually, Ben wasn't part of Oceanic, but still, someone from the island, you know.
Yeah.
And also, his daughter is a student. She's not his daughter in this reality. And also, he doesn't seem to have daddy issues. He takes care of his dad.
So you kind of wonder, is she really his daughter?
I don't know.
Or not?
Well, she's Rousseau's daughter, remember? And he took her.
So she's not really his daughter.
Right. He's his adopted daughter. But also, you know, it's funny if you think about, remember how he killed his dad on the island with that gas?
Yeah.
And here they show him hooking up a gas, oxygen. He gives him a different kind of gas that helps him breathe, which I thought was pretty cool.
The old oxygen.
And there was that cool moment where they're studying for that trading company that I know they've mentioned before. It has something to do with the Black Rock or something. I don't know. If Bill was here, maybe he'd tell me what it is, but I can't remember. But let's go ahead and cut to this interesting moment between Jack and Richard. Remember, they run into Richard.
Right.
And he takes him to the boat, the Black Rock. And he's like, I want to die. So let's check this moment out. It's pretty cool.
Do not open that. There's dynamite in there. It's mega unstable.
I know.
So did Dr. Arst. And I was wiping him out of my shirt 2 days later.
Dude, it's time to go.
No, not yet. He's opening up a crate of dynamite, and he said he wanted to kill himself.
I can't kill myself.
What?
Even if I wanted to. And trust me, I do. I can't kill myself. Which is why I want you to do it for me.
What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about, Jack, is that Jacob touched me. And when Jacob touches you, well, it's considered a gift.
Oh.
It's not a gift at all. It's a curse.
Dude! Seriously, let's go now!
Why do you want to die? I devoted my life, longer than you can possibly imagine, in service of a man who told me that everything was happening for a reason. That he had a plan that I was a part of, and when the time was right, that he'd share it with me. And now that man's gone. So why do I want to die? Because I just found out my entire life had no purpose. Now, if I light this myself, it won't work. But you can light it for me, Jack. Maybe the fuse long enough so you'll have time to get out.
Jack, please tell me you're not actually considering this.
He wants to die. There's nothing we're going to do to stop him.
Thank you. Now, let's talk. Dude, we gotta go. Guy's crazy, and I know crazy.
Hurley, go ahead. We'll be all right.
Dude, you're gonna blow up.
Gotta talk to him, Hurley. Just go.
No, I'm not going without you.
Hurley, I'll be fine.
When you change your mind, I'll be like a mile away.
You should go with him, Jack. No, Richard, no, I shouldn't.
And you're gonna die.
Actually, I don't think either one of us is gonna die.
What makes you think that?
I just came from a lighthouse. My name was etched in wood on a dial that turned a mirror that somehow reflected the image of the house that I grew up in. Jacob's Lighthouse.
He got Hurley to bring me out there because he wanted me to see what was reflected in that mirror. For some reason, he wanted me to know that he had been watching me ever since I was a kid.
Why?
I have no idea why. But I'm willing to bet you that if Jacob went to that trouble, that he brought me to this island for a reason, and it's not to blow up sitting here with you right now.
That's a pretty big risk you're taking, Jack.
Yes.
What if you're wrong?
I'm not.
What if he's wrong? Hey.
I'm gonna try another stick.
Don't be like that 24 kid.
All right, Jack. You seem to have all the answers, so now what? Go back to where we started.
Awesome. I love that whole moment there. That was awesome. What the hell, dude?
I do love that.
Big sissy, open the door. That was really cool, that moment there, and it made me think of Michael in that episode way back when. Was that two seasons ago? Where, remember, Michael was trying to kill himself. He rammed his car into the wall, and then he had a gun, and then when he pulled the trigger, nothing would happen. It would just click.
Yeah.
And Mr. Friendly said, you can't die until the island's done with you. He's like, I just want to be done with this. And he's really sad, you know. Now, what was really cool about this is a Ben-centric episode, as I said. And on the island, Miles kind of sells him out. She's like, I want you to tell me how Jacob died. And he like holds up the ashes and he explains that he can't communicate with them. He just can read the last moments of their death, right? What happened.
Right.
And he says, Ben killed him. He stabbed him. And he's like, what? No, I didn't. I just love how he's like, immediately, Ben did it. And it was a great moment there. He's like, didn't you love Miles? He was like, Miles, you still wanted millions of dollars. I have a network of people. I could get you the money. He goes, Nikki and Paul there, they had like $8 million worth of diamonds. What do I need your money for?
We're buried right there.
Yeah. And later on, they show him with the bag, and he's got the diamonds. He like actually dug it up. He wanted the diamonds. That was funny. But Locke, the smoke monster, comes to Ben, and he explains to him that he wants him to live because he wants him to take over the island when he's gone, and he frees him from his little leg shackle thing. And he goes running.
Tells him where a gun's at, hidden in the forest.
And Ilana, is that her name? Ilana. Yeah. She goes chasing after him, and this moment happens. And this is the Michael Emerson Emmy clip. Let's check it out.
Drop it. Put the gun down.
What are you waiting for?
I want to explain.
Explain what?
I want to explain that I know what you're feeling.
No idea what I'm feeling.
I want to know. I watched my daughter Alex die in front of me. And it was my fault. I had a chance to save her. But I chose the island over her. All in the name of Jacob. I sacrificed everything for him. And he didn't even care. Yeah, I stabbed him. I was so angry, confused. I was terrified that I was about to lose the only thing that had ever mattered to me, my power. But the thing
that really mattered was already gone. I'm sorry that I killed Jacob. I am, and I do not expect you to forgive me, because I can never forgive myself.
And what do you want?
Just let me leave.
Where will you go?
To Locke.
Why?
Because he's the only one that'll have me.
Oh, Ben.
I'll have you.
No? Oscar winner Michael Giacchino's music. Ben. Oh, Ben. Is that you, Ben? But, yeah, Michael Giacchino, he does the music to Lost and Fringe and Up, which he won the Oscar for.
His payroll just went up a notch.
Very awesome, because I love the score to Up, and I was rooting for him. But Lost, that was incredible. That was an incredible episode. I love that scene there. But also the parallel to him choosing his adopted daughter, who's not even his daughter, in the other reality, between becoming the principal and getting the guy fired and her going to the college she wants to, he chose her instead.
Her getting the nod from...
Right. And I thought that was really cool. That was... I don't know what it has to do with everything. We're going to learn. But still, I thought it was cool. It was very neat. It was... I love the way it paralleled between that. And I know some people don't want Ben. They want him to remain the bad guy or a bad guy. But I don't think he's been quite that ever since he killed Jacob. He was just a tool being manipulated the whole time. He's this insecure little guy who has never been loved. His mom died. His dad was a jerk, you know. I know, buddy. It's going to be okay.
Jack took his mom down to the dirty bomb site and killed
yeah.
her.
Yeah, how dare he do that? You know, Jack! You're my God, you're right.
You know how long it takes a human body to absorb a lethal dose of cesium-137? 5 seconds.
Whoa.
Followed by 12 days of pain. It's so agonizing. Morphine can't even touch it.
Wow. Well,
so
that's
how is he going to take her down there without getting it himself?
He's going to be in a hazmat
suit.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But that was an awesome loss. I can't wait till next week, Steven. But Spartacus, let's talk about that, and we'll get
Spartacus
to the DVDs.
Blood and Sand.
Have you been watching it?
Yes, I have been watching it.
Did you watch this last episode?
No, I didn't watch this last
episode. The gay guy's boyfriend has been killed, right? Mm-hmm. So he's become like a bitch to this other gladiator, and he's been punching him. He's always got a black eye. And Spartacus is kind of looking at him like, what's the deal with that guy? And he's like, come here. This evil gladiator who likes to rape him, I guess. He's like, get over here and stuff. He's like become his bitch. Spartacus doesn't like that at all. And he's like, he asks the guy, he's like, what's going on? He's like, what does it matter? He left me here to rot in hell or whatever. So anyway, Spartacus has got his own problems, but he's like, oh, that's a bummer. Until he finds him and he's hanged himself. The kid couldn't take it anymore. So he goes out and starts a fight with the other gladiator. He's like, what's your problem? And he's like, so-and-so's dead. I can't remember anyone's name on the show. And he's like, he says something really tacky. He's like, I'll really miss him. His mouth on my you know what, and Spartacus is like, oh, he grabs him by the neck and shoves him off the cliff, and the guy falls off the cliff, and they show a point of view from the rocks below. His head slams in it and blood splatters all over the camera. And the boss, Batiatus, is pissed, and they have this conversation. This guy knows how to enunciate. That's all I'm going to say here. Check it out.
This morning,
I boasted the top retiarius in all of Capua. Now I possess nothing more than bones and brains scattered upon the rocks.
Apologies.
Your apologies!
Whoa.
I will have return of the vow you lost. The price of the man will be subtracted from your winnings until the remainder is balanced.
As you see fit, Dominus.
All of this for what? Petrus? He was nothing, shit from a whore.
He was a man. Whoa. His life had worth.
Half a coin at most. Gnaeus was a gladiator. Years of training, each mounting to exorbitant cost. That is true worth.
He did not deserve to live.
Ooh. I alone decide to live, not you, not a fucking slave. My generosity has been boundless. Yet you defy me still. Mercato's games are upon us. I expect you to fight as a loyal Roman. Or die as a Thracian.
Oh. Hardcore.
See him to the Medicus.
It's okay, Spartacus.
Spartacus, don't cry, son.
So this some kind of Roman hero defeated the Thracians in this battle, so he wants Spartacus to represent his great-grandfather and kill these criminals who will be dressed as Thracians, and he's like, I will not! I am Thracian! He goes, you are no longer Thracian. You are now a gladiator. And he's like, no, I won't do it. But after that, he's like, okay, I'll do it. So then, what's funny is, since his wife died, it's not really funny. I don't know why I said that. He doesn't have much will to live anymore, but also he kind of wants to kill people. You know what I mean? He wants to kill, he doesn't want to be a slave. He
Maybe
wants
I
to do something.
The end of this one. Is it
where the guy has a spear and he stands there, he stands upright, yeah. Turns his chin up and the guy's like, hey, he's not going to do anything. Throws his spear, comes flying, and you know,
yeah, I saw this battle.
Body artist is like, what the hell? He's not fighting, and it grazes his cheek, and he's like, okay, I guess I'll fight. Since he's like, I remember the whole thing is him doubting that there's gods, and his friends like, how could you doubt the gods from what you've been rewarded and stuff? He's like, but he took my
and
wife.
He heard his wife say something
right
about living.
And how the gods favor him and stuff. Yeah. So he's like, okay, I'm going to stand here and see if I die. When he didn't, he was like, okay, well, maybe the gods do want me to kill these guys. And he does kill them. Very violently.
The guy with the big hammer.
You know what was funny is Heather hadn't seen an episode of this till this episode, and she was like doing laundry. She's like, oh my God. And I'm like, what? She's like, this show is so graphic. And I'm like, you know what? I've gotten used to it, you know, especially when he throws the dude off the cliff and I'm like, are they going to show him splatter? But yeah, okay, they are. And you just see the blood. And it goes on the camera lens. I'm like, yep, that's this show. And she hit her eyes for that. She was like, oh, she had to look away. I was like, come on, you're not desensitized yet. Yeah. Soak it all in. It won't bother you. But I thought that was great. Oh, I know. He doesn't like violence,
when
Steven.
When he cuts the guy's head off. And
yeah.
Dude!
And just the show is so cool. I love Spartacus. And I know eventually Spartacus led an uprising. So I know it's going to take a while to get to that. And you know what's interesting is Andy Whitman, I believe, plays Spartacus. He was diagnosed this week with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. But they said they caught it early, and he's going through treatment now. And I was like, damn. You know, it's just
had Dexter caught? He's got...
It was the same kind, I believe. But they caught it early, so he's going to undergo treatment. And they said they're putting season 2 on hold a little bit, I believe. But I just hope he's okay. But, you know, it's funny. It's like, I don't know. The guy looks like he's in really good shape and healthy, but it doesn't matter when it's cancer. Yeah. You know, just... There's nothing you can do, you know what I mean? It's just really...
Shoot, even the guys who were super healthy, you know, you heard about them dropping dead of a heart attack while jogging, you know?
Right, like, you just never... basically, Steven, anybody could die at any time. I know it's upsetting. I know. It's okay, little guy. It's going to be okay. All right. Well, that was Spartacus, and let's get ready to do some DVDs, right? Sean, are you still willing to do some DVDs with us? Just let me know. Are you still there, Sean? Indeed, yeah. Do you want to call in on the? Okay, give you a sec. Well, we're gonna go ahead and do the DVD song. Let's do it, Steven. You want to?
I'm ready.
Sorry, news. No news this week.
Let's do some DVDs. HD, Blu-ray, sound and definition.
DVDs. Oh, hell yeah, the DVDs. Woo, I'm it. Sean, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, Sean. Hey, thanks for coming.
What's up, guys?
How's it going?
Oh, pretty good. It's the first time I've ever listened to the show live.
Really?
Wow.
That's cool.
And then he gets to participate.
I know. Didn't expect that, but I'm psyched.
Hey, coming through in the clutch, Sean. It's awesome. Now, I don't know if you caught the beginning of the show, but Bill couldn't be with us tonight, and we decided to persevere without him. Even though it was kind of upsetting. Oh, Steven. I know, that's pretty upsetting, isn't it?
It does upset me.
Yeah, that guy's upset, too.
That guy's kind of a wimp, isn't he? The wimpiest terrorist ever.
My mom.
My mommy. Instead of it would have been great if she's running away and he's got the bomb and he goes, "Mom," it would have been great if he went, "Mommy." And Jack's like, "Get in there," and slams the door and he blows
Wussy
up.
Boy.
I'm going to expose your mom to radiation. It's going to really suck. No.
I wonder if Jack sent his mom in to go clean him up, you know, like you called
him. I know. He hands her a mop. Get in there and clean that shit up. No, what's my, my son.
Take part of your boy home with you.
Here's a jar. Take it home. Hey, it saves money on the funeral. You bastard. You're an agent. No, I'm retired, remember? Oh, no, yeah.
No, I'm not.
By the way, where the hell have you been? I haven't seen you since St. Elmo's fire. Well, you know, I've been doing stuff around the house and stuff. Now, Sean, do you have a list of DVDs?
I do have a list. I will try my very best to live up to Mulberry Bill's standards.
Awesome.
So, these are DVDs for Tuesday, March 16th, 2010. What have we got here? Okay, first we have Armored on DVD and Blu-ray.
Armored. What is that? That sounds familiar.
That's the heist game. Heist one. They're stealing.
Oh, is that with Peter Petrelli?
Yes.
Yeah, Peter Petrelli, Matt Dillon, Lawrence Fishburne, all those awesome thespians.
Yeah, yeah, but really, does that mean he's happy about it or sad about it? I'm not sure. Maybe that's the only way he communicates. me likey. I love Peter Petrelli.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, speaking of Peter Petrelli, I actually worked on Heroes for a few episodes last season, and I got to work with him, and he's actually a really cool guy.
You know what? He's into comic books and stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's really friendly, and he was talking about comic books, about all kinds of stuff. Actually, it was my first day on set, and he came up to me and introduced himself to me, which I thought was weird, but cool.
That's awesome. Cool. He seems like a cool guy. I've seen him in interviews and stuff, and I've actually seen him talk about comic books and stuff on the comic – what is that? CBR website? Comic book something?
Review?
Maybe. I can't remember what it's called.
Whoa.
Yeah. Hey, Peter. But I don't think he would like to listen to our show, though, because he'd be like, these guys hate Heroes.
We're not bashing him. We're bashing Heroes.
But in our defense, dude, we've watched all of your work, okay? We're actually watching the show, okay? Oh, my God. Peter! Oh, my God. I hope he's okay. That's
I mean, he's just an actor doing
right.
what
That's when his dad sucked the powers out of his head, I believe. But If I were to ask him,
he wasn't too bad in Rocky Balboa.
No, he was great as Sylvester Stallone's son. But if we could just say, take this dagger, much like the smoke monster, you know, Saeed, when you see Tim Kring, before he says a word, stab him through the heart. Peter, nice to, it's like, no, I must kill you. He pulls it out and he's like, what'd you do that for? He's like, oh my God, you can't kill him, Tim Kring.
So what?
No, but that's really cool, Sean. So what did you do on the set of Heroes?
I was just a production assistant on set. Actually, I have a Tim Kring story if you guys want to hear it.
Oh, nice. I do, definitely.
So we were shooting, it was a night shoot, so we started at 6 p.m. and we were going to wrap at we're wrapping close to 5 a.m. And we had one shot left, and this is 4:30 in the morning. Everyone's really tired, want to go home, right? And then we just have literally one shot left, and then we hear on the walkies that Tim Kring wants everyone to come back behind camera because he has an announcement to make. And this was last season, so I actually haven't really seen the show, but I had heard there were bums and that they might get canceled. So I was like, oh shit, the show's going to get canceled. This is horrible. And then he called us, and then, you know, we all went there, and then he called us there to basically to clarify something he said in an interview about how we called the fans stupid and to make sure that none of the crew was upset with him. Which I didn't mind. I wish that he had waited till after we wrapped, or maybe he did that before we started shooting because we were all really tired and because we had to go back to do the setup again, and it cost us 45 minutes.
Oh, he didn't really time it very well. actually remember that when he said that.
Yeah, I was a little upset because we were really grumpy.
So it's like, oh, yeah, thanks for your apology.
Been on site on set for 12 hours. I'm tired.
We weren't mad at you till now.
Exactly.
But I was going to say the actor who plays Peter Petrelli, his name is Milo Ventimiglia?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, close enough?
Close enough.
Wait, let me ask 24 guy. Did I pronounce it right?
Milo.
I guess he's saying that I did a good job. Okay. All right. Yep. Armored. I'll check it out. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to check it out. I'm sorry, Sean. I lied to you just then. I'll never do it again.
When it comes on HBO or something.
Right. Okay. Maybe I will see it then. So,
I'm not paying for it.
You know what? It's gonna be kind of like Spartacus and the Gods. I'm gonna wait till the gods deliver it into my TV, and then I'll watch it.
Sweet. All right. Next, we've got Astro Boy.
Oh, I know. My daughter really wanted to see this because on the commercial he has machine guns in his butt.
Indeed, does.
And she was just like, he's got machine guns in his butt. And I was like, hey, sold. We'll check this out. Anybody who's got machine guns in their butt. Because really, if you think about it, that's a talent. And usually you'll need to be running away from somebody, and machine guns in your butt would be pretty awesome, right? You're being chased and...
It's like the car that drops the oil as you're driving.
Right. Or, you know, like in Wise Guy, he had the Gatling gun in the trunk whenever he hit the cigarette lighter button. It's kind of like that. Mm-hmm. I almost think that Astro Boy, his machine guns in his butt is an homage to Ken Wall and Wise Guy. What do you guys think here? I think I've stumbled upon something here. You know, I'm going to sign into IMDb, and you know how they have movie connections on Astro Boy. I'm going to write reference to Ken Wall and Wise Guy. People go, really? I didn't catch that. Awesome, Sean. Now, what else do we got?
What else do we have? We have, did you hear about the Morgans?
Did you hear about the Morgans? Remind me of what this is.
I don't know about this one.
It has a horse face. Sorry, Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh, I love Sarah Jessica. You know she does.
SJP.
It's vaguely familiar.
Yep, that's her.
Her
and Hugh Grant.
Oh wow, that's already on DVD. Didn't that just come out in the theater?
Yeah, I thought it just. But yep, it's coming out on Tuesday.
Dude, that came out in the theater a month ago, didn't it? I'm not kidding. That's crazy. I know. Well,
I had no real interest in seeing it anyways. But
yeah. It looks like...
I'm dying to see it, guys.
Oh, well, cool.
I don't want to ruin it for you then.
Okay, thanks.
I just want to tell you that Hugh Grant is mauled by a bear. I'm sorry.
It's not a bear. It's Sarah Jessica Parker.
He's mauled by Sarah Jessica Parker.
I got it.
Awesome.
All right. Yeah. Next, we have The Fourth Kind on DVD and Blu-ray. That's the one with Mila Jovovich.
Oh, yeah. Now, in the commercial, she's like, hello, I am Mila Jovovich.
Yeah.
And she's like, this is based on a true story. And they show a guy sitting in his chair going,
Yeah.
He like makes this weird sound or something. What was that?
It's like in Nome or something. It's in Alaska.
Yeah, that's it right there. That sound. And it means an alien is like taking over his body or something.
It's some little...
I think it's the sequel to Body Snatchers. You know, the one with Donald Sutherland?
Oh, yeah. Where he does the... I don't even know how you would like... how would you describe that sound that he makes? But I love that. I love Body Snatchers. That's an awesome ending to that movie. Where she's just like... I can't remember his name. Like, Peter? And he's like... I think we have a drop of that somewhere, but I have no idea what it's labeled as.
I need a scanner's drop too.
Oh yeah, what would you like?
That would be sweet.
The head explosion.
Yeah,
but wouldn't it just be a? I guess. Oh wait, here we go.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Steven, I haven't seen you. The aliens, they've been trying to... No! They got Steven!
They got me in Portland.
No!
Oh, did you hear that, 24 guy? They got Steven! I know, it's pretty upsetting, isn't it? Wow.
What did you say?
Never mind. You got to keep up with me.
And he didn't even care.
Oh, okay. All right, Sean, what else we got?
We have Hawaii Five-0, the 8th season on DVD.
Mm. Book 'em, Dano.
I gotta be honest. Never watched it.
Yeah, me neither.
But you know what? They're doing a remake of it, right?
When I was in Hawaii, I just took a picture.
Say, they're doing the remake with Jin, right? And Grace Park.
Right, which will be cool. Jin will get more screen time than he does in Lost, that's for sure.
And he doesn't have to leave Hawaii.
Right. And I love Grace Park, too. She was great. That show, what was that called? The Cleaner with...
Benjamin Bratt.
Benjamin Bratt. I watched the first season of that, but the show was such a downer, man. For the second season, I was like, I'm out, man. I can't handle this anymore. But... people with drug problems and stuff like that. It was just really sad.
Yeah, I caught a couple of episodes of
that. Oh, my God.
I know.
Oh, Grace Park was on that show?
Yeah, she was. She played one of the people that tried to get people clean.
One of the kidnappers, I guess, if you want to call them that.
Interesting.
Right. Whenever they had to do that, they'd do that.
I see. All right. We have Monk, also season 8, but I guess that's the last season for Monk. I've never watched it.
So. That's right. I watched the first couple of seasons of Monk. I liked it, but it was on for a long time.
I never saw the finale. I'd catch episodes here and there.
I know we recorded it just to see what it was, but I lost interest, you know, where I, you know, it's just like, you know, if I saw the ending, it wouldn't really mean anything. So I guess I'll just skip it. But Monk with Tony Shalhoub. I love that guy. What do you think, Steven? I don't understand. Maybe he's got a problem
with
it.
Makes me sad.
Yeah.
Well.
Whoa.
Huh? Now, hey, Sean, mate, can I ask you, how were you upset over Corey Haim?
I was a little bummed to read about it. You know, it was weird because I woke up that morning and then
for some reason, I went to my computer and I was like, I think something happened today. I swear to God. I was like, so I went to Yahoo's main page or whatever, and then it said Courtney Hinton. I'm like, how did I know? Psychic.
Bummer. And did you listen to our show back when we used to cover that show, The Two Corys?
Yeah, I heard it on the old two episodes.
Oh, so you knew that we had, you know.
We were fans.
We were fans. You know, I haven't listened to those shows in a long time, but I guarantee you if you go back and listen, we at least had concern for him back then, his health, his well-being.
And he should have gone on Dr. Drew's celebrity rehab.
And the guy was exactly the same age as me, and that's why when he died, I was like, he's the same age as me. I think even close to the same month, and it's just like, dude, I'm not ready to go now, you know? I know he wasn't, so it's pretty sad. And I won't cheapen it with the 24 guy.
I was waiting for it.
I'm fighting the urge.
Next, we have Ninja Assassin on DVD and Blu-ray.
Damn you, Foggy. Oh, Ninja Assassin. That movie looked badass. Didn't you guys think? Or am I alone?
I just saw commercial for the DVD, I guess, earlier today.
It's
like a lot of fun.
It looks violent. It's got awesome action. And hell, it has ninjas. Come on.
Ooh, ninja star to the head. Ow!
Yes. Love that drop. What was that from, anyway?
That was from... it was the Fox show On the Lot about people pitching their own movies. And whoever got picked got to become part of DreamWorks with Steven Spielberg. And that guy was pitching his movie about a DVD duplication empire. And it's like, what?
DVD duplication pirating empire. It's not a game.
Yeah, and they were like, dude, you need to calm down.
We're beating him. It's not a game anymore, Dougie.
Yeah, I think he was eliminated probably the first episode, but...
It's not a game anymore, Dougie.
That ninja star to the head, I was like, gold! I'm going to mine that for the show.
Let's say, if he was a pirate, shouldn't have been pirates, not ninjas?
No way, man.
No, I'm for his pitch.
No, I think the pirate threw a ninja star to the head is what he was saying. He wasn't a ninja, because anybody could throw a ninja star, technically. You don't have to be a ninja to do it. Maybe you do to be accurate, but I'm getting into semantics here, Steven.
That's what I thought.
You know what I mean? Sorry, Sean, about that little moment there.
It's okay, guys. I'll forgive you.
Ninja Assassin.
Hell yes.
Hey, so that On the Lot, that's the one at the end where Steven Spielberg was like sucking up to the guy who won, right?
He was like, watch your stuff. It's pretty good. I think we even covered that on the show whenever we did it. I can't remember. It all becomes a blur after a while.
Whatever happened to that guy? I wonder what he's doing now.
You know what? Yeah. Did he ever make anything?
Much like all the people we know that
is he the director of Chipmunks the Squeakquel, maybe? I don't know. I doubt he ever worked. You know, honestly, if I was a director, I'd want to be...
He's a college teacher somewhere.
I admire somebody like Jack Bender, who directs a lot of the Lost episodes. I'd want to do television, honestly. I know people say it's a lot of hard work.
His masterpiece is Child's Play 3.
Who, Jack Bender?
Yep.
Nice. So he does much more quality work in the television. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Chong.
After Ninja Assassin, we have The Princess and the Frog on DVD and Blu-ray.
Loved it. Saw it in the theater. I thought it was awesome. I love the music, the animation, everything. Remember,
that's
is like the
Cajun
first,
version, right?
Yeah, the first 2D animation we've seen in a long time. And there's a character in this movie. I won't tell you what happens or spoil anything, but when I mention the character's name and think about it, I get teary-eyed. It stays with me. You know, it just makes me just, oh, man. Yeah, exactly like that. But, guys, I don't know if you like it or whatever. It's a musical, too. But I thought it was a lot of fun. A lot of the style of the animation, I loved it. Loved everything about it. It was really cool.
It looked really well done. I just didn't know how to take the, you know.
It works. I'll just tell you that much.
I'll take your word.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah, it's on my Netflix queue, I think, next. Whenever I send my next one in, hopefully I'll get it. So, looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, I'm going to buy it on Blu-ray. I've got to. That's like one of those, because, you know, my daughter, like, if I don't get a lot of Blu-rays for myself anymore, but if I get it for her, it's like I'll sit and watch it with her and she'll watch it a million times or whatever. So it's like we get our money's worth if it's a kid's movie. I'm like, you know, I actually, I own The Hurt Locker. I bought it because I couldn't get it on Netflix a while back. And, you know, that's when I watched it and I was like, oh, that's pretty good. And, you know, as I said on the show, it's like, is it really that good? I don't know. But when it won the best picture, I was like, yeah, okay. It's this year's Crash, I think. You know, I love Catherine Bigelow. I love her work in the past and I love the movie and everything. But still, I'm telling you, is it that good?
It's a culmination prize of the years of work. Is kind of what you thought the Oscar maybe.
You know, Barbara Streisand, like the first woman, and then she's like, finally. It's like, and Catherine Bigelow was like, well, I want to be recognized as a good director before you bring in my gender, you know. Sean, what did you think of The Hurt Locker? That's what I'm getting to through all of this.
I still haven't seen it. It's still a long wait on Netflix.
It won the Academy Award. You got to see it. It's the best movie ever. I'm going to hype it up like I heard it. You know? Oh, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. And then I watch it. I'm like, it's all right, but
it's a good movie.
Is it the best movie? Now I can't hype it. You've seen it win Best Picture, Sean. So you're expecting the best. Right? When you watch it, you're like, this is the best movie of 2009 when you watch it.
You know what? I'm just going to let the movie come to me.
Right. Yeah.
That's what we call movie flow.
That's the Bruce Lee. That's how Bruce Lee watches movies. Awesome.
Thank you.
Jabba the Hutt loved that.
Movie flow. I created movie flow. You heard me.
But technically, the movie come to me, that's my philosophy. You just named it. Okay, so.
Are you a lifelong practitioner of that, Jason?
Yes, lifelong practitioner.
Both of us, yeah.
Yeah, back in the day.
We both have watched movies. That was our ritual for us.
I got to say, well, not when I was a kid because you have to learn it over time. I used to get extremely excited about movies, and I would record the commercials on VHS and read the, you know, they would have the collector's magazines, and I'd buy that and read it cover to cover, and read the novelizations, you know, and somewhere along the line that interest stopped, you know. So when I see people extremely excited about, you know, there's first showing or Ain't It Cool News and people get excited about these announcements. I used to be that way, but I honestly am not anymore, really.
See, I was,
except for when they announced Tron 2. Then I was like, huh?
I know I told you this story, but when Jaws came out and I was so into Spielberg Jaws, and our teacher in third grade handed out paper.
You're going way back, by the way.
I know, but I drew. She said, draw a picture. So I drew Jaws poster.
Nice.
And turned it in. It's a weekend. Come back on Monday. All the drawings are pinned up when you first walk into the school. It's Thanksgiving week. Everybody has drawn pilgrims and turkeys. Right dab in the middle is Jaws.
It's like, oh, you had an interesting day.
It's like, what were you thinking? It's like, I love Jaws.
Hey, Jaws still holds up. I can still watch it.
So that's my embarrassing third grade.
And you let Jaws come to you.
I did. I mean, I was enthralled by it. I was fascinated by Jaws.
Nice. Okay. I love Jaws. Great movie. All right, Sean.
Can I admit something, guys?
Yeah.
Since you mentioned Tron 2, I've never seen Tron.
What? You've never seen Tron?
Are we not friends?
You got to see it before Tron 2.0.
Now, let me tell you this about Tron. Sean.
Okay.
It's a cheesy movie. The dialogue is groan-inducing. And back when it came out, the effects were awesome. when you watch it now, you're going to go, what the hell? So
might be a little wince-inducing.
So I'm going to say this. Keep the movie at a distance where you let it come to you and just think, put yourself in, what was it, 1980-something, early 80s.
And you got to remember, personal computers were hardly even out. There might have been the Apple II.
And a lot of people didn't even have home computers at the time.
The C64, maybe.
We still had Atari, but, I mean, the arcade games were pretty cool.
It was big arcade, yeah.
So, I mean, just check it out, but also don't expect it to be fantastic, because it is still cheesy. You know?
When they start talking about, you know, ROM and RAM, and those are character names.
We have to get to the I.O. tower. That's one of my favorites, the input-output tower. Hilarious.
And the MCP program. Mm-hmm.
Master Control. So, I think it's a lot of fun and cool, but a lot of it's nostalgia. But The trailer to Tron 2, have you seen that?
I have not. Tron, I was hoping to watch the first one first.
Tron Legacy. Now, they have been showing it on HDNet. Do you have that channel?
No, I don't have cable, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, you could rent it or buy it on DVD.
Indeed.
Or Netflix it. Tron?
Yeah, that's available, trust me.
I have the special edition.
We don't have Hurt Locker, but we have Tron. And Jeff Bridges, he deserved the Oscar for Tron. Let me just get that out of the way right now. Took this long to give it to him. You know that Oscar was really for Tron that they gave him the other night?
Yes.
I'm full of crap.
Dude, it's time to go.
No, it's not. All right, Sean, what else do we have?
South Park, the complete 13th season on DVD.
Wow. Good Lord, man.
13 seasons.
Steven, do you still watch South Park?
Occasionally. I'm not a hardcore fan.
Yeah. I watched the World of Warcraft one and the Naggers one. Remember that?
No.
Naggers. Do you guys remember that? The guys on Wheel of Fortune? And it says N blank G G E R S. And he goes, people that annoy you. Do you remember that? N blank G G. And the answer is Naggers. But he says the other one. He goes, I know what it is. And he says it. And everyone's like, and there's like a couple of black stagehands and cameramen. They turn and look at him. And they go, no, I'm sorry. The answer is Naggers. And he's like, oh. And it was like, oh, like giving him mean looks. It's hilarious. Just type in South Park Naggers on YouTube and you'll see that clip. It's awesome.
No, I was like,
whatever.
Like the atheist one, you know, the science be praised.
Yeah. I haven't seen that one. I faked it, Steven.
He was nothing. Shit from a whore.
What? That guy needs to watch his language.
South Park.
All right, Sean, what else do we have?
I'm thinking this is going to be the last one because everything else I don't recognize. But we have SpongeBob's Last Stand on DVD.
Awesome. I love SpongeBob. Watch SpongeBob all the time with my daughter. And, in fact, sometimes, even in public places, she says, Daddy, be SpongeBob. And I have to talk like SpongeBob. But I don't know if I should do it for you guys. I don't do it very good. But she thinks I'm awesome at it, though. So that's all that matters, right?
Right.
Isn't it the Kurgan in SpongeBob?
Yeah. Yes. He's Mr. Krabs.
And I can do Patrick, too. Kind of.
Not very good.
Patrick's
he's a starfish. Come on, Steven, it's me, SpongeBob.
From Coach, the big tall.
Oh, yeah, he's Tom Cullen.
Tom Cullen.
M-O-N spell SpongeBob.
Yeah, he's Dauber from Coach.
That's what I was trying to think of.
What's the actor's name?
Dauber? Awesome. Love Dauber.
And he's the voice of Patrick Starfish. And, SpongeBob is Tom King.
I think Fish is his last name. Starfish.
Is it? No, it's Star.
Patrick Star?
Mm-hmm. Where's Patrick Starfish? I don't know. Let's call Emma real quick.
Dude!
All right, Sean, that was our last DVD.
Or was I found it? A couple of just Blu-rays.
Ooh, yeah, yeah, Blu-ray. HD Blu-ray, standard definition, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. I've got Breaking Bad, the first two seasons on Blu-ray.
Oh, finally! I can finally watch this because Bill and I have been talking about, I think it was Ross. He was like, the best show on the planet. You guys need to watch it. And I was like, no, not until it's on Blu-ray. I'm going to watch this until it's on Blu-ray. But now it is, and I will watch it because I've heard nothing but great things. Vince Gilligan, I believe, runs the show, or he's the head writer. He was my favorite X-Files scribe, as they say, and he does this. I'm definitely going to check out Breaking Bad Season 1 and 2 on Blu-ray. Did you hear that, Bill? It's awesome. And what else?
And The Wizard of Oz on Blu-ray. This is like a single disc because they came out with like a big box set last year. But this
right.
is
just kind of this Hell's a Poppin' Collector's Edition. That's cool. Awesome. Okay.
Oh, dude.
I think the Wicked Witch scares him, so poor little guy.
The house gets her in the end.
I just want to apologize. Okay, 24 guy?
Your apologies!
Oh, my God. Guy's so temperamental. Batiatis?
Batiatis.
What is that guy? I mean...
He did not deserve to live.
No, he didn't.
All right, and this is the real last one. This is the Vengeance trilogy on Blu-ray. This is like Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance, Lady Vengeance, and Old Boy.
Oh, I can tell you right now, Bill is upset that he did not get to do this because I know he loves those movies. Yes,
<That's> Bill upset.
But I know he's always wanted me to watch those, and I will.
Now they're on
That's
Blu-ray,
awesome.
So you can.
HD Blu-ray. Now, who is the director of these movies, Sean?
A Korean guy.
Now, what's his name?
Takashi Mike.
Yes! Takashi Mike! Yes, you passed the test. It is good. Awesome.
You were tested and you passed.
Sweet.
You have passed the Jedi trials. You have.
Takashi Mike.
Oh. His name is Park Chan-wook. Or Chan-wook
that
Park.
That's fun.
No Takashi Mike.
Is that one he said? Is it the guy that won that the name is they change it around? Cause
yeah, it's like Chow Yun Fat or Fat Chun Yao. I don't know. I get confused when I start thinking about it. But I think Bill and I had a conversation once on a show about it. But it's Park Chan Wook. Or Chan Wook Park is the way it says it on the box, right, Bill? Bill's talking to me in the instant messenger. So, but I actually believed it was Takashi Mike for a second. Hey, you know what? Takashi Mike,
it's
right?
Good enough.
Takashi Mike did what, though? Takashi Miike, I believe is his name. By the way, he's my MySpace buddy. He was like one of my first. I was like, I'm going to try to friend Takashi Miike, and I did. Or Takashi Mike, as I like to call him. But all I know is this, Sean.
Hang up right now and transmit the failsafe.
What?
Get her out of here now!
Oh, my God! Oh.
Oh, yeah.
I opened up the wrong door. Sorry. That was scary. But what I meant to say is all I know is this.
You know how long it takes a human body to absorb a lethal dose of cesium-137? 5 seconds. Followed by 12 days of pain that's so agonizing, morphine can't even touch it.
But, you know, that's a good trivia question for parties, I think. How long does it take to die from cesium-137?
12 days. Painful days.
Well, Sean, I just want to tell you, thanks so much for bailing us out on the DVDs. I really appreciate it. You did a great job.
Thanks, Sean.
My pleasure, guys.
And this makes up, you know, you didn't get to send a voicemail, so you got to be on the show and do the DVDs.
Upgrade.
Awesome. That's so cool. Thank you so much, Sean. And you can stay with us for the closing, too, okay? So just
All right, cool. Thanks.
All right, Sean. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week. Oh, by the way, Sean, how do you pronounce your last name? Because when I read it, I'm like, I don't even know how to start.
How do you think you pronounce? I pronounce it. I want to hear this.
Well, I'd have to see it again, but it starts with a U, right?
type it in the chat.
Okay.
You see it?
Wait, no, wait. I'm not in the chat anymore. Wait, wait. I'm remembering. Is it the way I look at it is Uyoka?
Hey, that's not bad. Yeah, it's Uyoka.
Uyoka? Nice.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good.
Well, thank you.
You just pronounced the U like a U instead of a U.
So it's Uyoka.
Yeah.
Nice. Uyoka. I'm glad I didn't embarrass myself too much. Nice.
Well.
Oh, okay.
So proud of yourself.
All right, Sean, Steven, thank you. I'll just lead into this.
Dude, it's time to go.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week.
You're right, Hurley.
And...
That Jabba can tell a joke.
That guy's hilarious. Holy crap! I said launch, not launch!
Eat it, Harvey!
Alright! Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the show. That was episode 194 of Nowhere in Mulberry. I know it was a crazy, different kind of show, but I hope we pulled it off. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Steven.
Special guest star, Sean.
Yeah, and Rick.
And Rick.
I don't know how I'm going to work that in. I got to work that Rick interview where we questioned him about his banning from the PS3 home. I've got to work that into the podcast somewhere. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'll figure it out. But if you'd like to go to nowheremulberry.com, you'll find a link to Mulberry Old School, all of our old episodes. Or you could go to our forum, join that, and comment on the show. Or send us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. Also, send us a voicemail at 1206-202-3491. And also, you'll see a link there to us on Facebook and Twitter. I can't remember if I've done your link yet for Twitter, but it's... PCZ Steven on Twitter, right?
Well, just follow. You can follow it from Jason's page to mine. You can look up who you follow and
right. So you're a friend of mine on Twitter, so they'll be able to find you on there.
Correct. Yeah.
Yes. Or PCZ Steven in the search box.
Correct.
We're making it too difficult, aren't we?
That's what I always go through everybody's friends to see who you're friends with.
Yeah, I did that too.
And then I pick out people as like, hey, I don't know.
It's funny how like at first you're excited and find it, but now I'm like, don't care anymore. You know?
I'm still getting people starting to follow. You know, they're finding me now. Right. So
it's really cool when you see. So, oh, that guy. Oh, good. He's following my messages that mean nothing. Great.
And not that I Twitter that often, but.
That guy out, Steven.
Forgot to Twitter about you, dude.
But Sean, so, I see you on Twitter, right?
Yep, indeed. Every so often.
I had a silent belch there. Please excuse me. So I was trying to talk. I'm like,
so you tie your Facebook and Twitter together. So whatever you post on Twitter, post on Facebook, right?
Yeah, I can and I can not do it if I want. Also. But on the tweet deck on the iPod, you can hit the Facebook button and do both if you want. And I don't do it all the time, you know. But yeah, it's just, you know, really cool stuff. You
well,
know,
like on my on my Facebook, I've been writing like the old sayings and not finishing them and let people add to whatever.
Is it disappointing when they don't?
Most people, I've had a few, you know, pretty much everybody feeds back something. I'll get a handful, two or three, four.
Sometimes I'll do the post like, you know, I did the, hey, what's your favorite drop? Which was really successful. A lot of people comment and go, what's your favorite part of the show? Mm-hmm. Then I was like, hey, when have we ever made you spit take? Tell me about it. And it's like.
Oh, guys, I got to say, last week, the part where you were talking about Precious and based on the novel by Sapphire.
Yeah.
That part made me do a spit take at one point.
Nice. That's what I like to hear.
Because we kept going on and on with the the joke of... You know,
I don't want to sound racist or anything, guys, but on the Oscars, did you watch them, Sean?
I did. It was quite boring.
Whenever they mentioned Precious, they would show some a black person in the audience. Wouldn't they cut to black guy?
Yeah,
they would
always, I noticed that.
They would do that. Yeah. Like, Precious...
Totally.
Cut to Oprah Winfrey, you know.
I was just trying to figure out why Lenny Kravitz was there.
Oh, cut to him. You mentioned Precious. But I almost thought this, like, Precious, I mean, while drinking your juice in the hood. It's kind of like that kind of title. Isn't it?
I mean, don't be, I like Lenny Kravitz, but what does he get to do with the Oscars?
He did that. Dun, 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 dun. Remember that song? All right,
well, I've seen him in concert, so yeah, I know the music.
Oh, Steven, name dropping the concert.
Puts on a good show, that Lenny Kravitz there.
Awesome. Oh, right. Bill just said, because he's in the movie, Precious.
Oh, it's, I didn't know, honestly. I mean,
Steven, we're going to have to get you that on Blu-ray.
I'll watch that.
All right, you will do it. So,
it's probably pretty good.
Now, Sean, for doing the DVDs on the show, you get a free copy of Precious, based on the novel Push by Sapphire. I had to think about it.
Does he get the book or the DVD?
Ooh. You get the novelization.
Paperback.
Can I get the Sapphire?
Yeah, it's written by the same guy who did Splinter of the Mind's Eye, the Star Wars book. So, Alan Dean Foster wrote the adaptation. It's the abridged version of Precious, based on the novel Push by Sapphire, the novelization by Alan Dean Foster, writer of Splinter of the Mind's Eye.
Wow.
Wow.
My head hurts.
My head hurts. You kidding me? Just like, ugh. I know. I feel the same way. That's the only drop that got played this week. Come on.
Your apologies.
I didn't apologize. My God.
Boy, that guy is so upset.
If he only knew where I came from, you know.
He was nothing. Shit from a whore.
Hey. How dare you? Ah, take that, bastard. Batiatis. What a jerk. That guy's a real jerk. You know what I'm saying?
I just love the name, though, is awesome. Batiatis.
Batiatis. Yeah.
Off his rocker.
Yeah, the dude was nuts. Have you been watching that, Spartacus, Sean?
Not cable.
I have not. I want to, though. You guys have been making it sound really good.
Do you have an Xbox or a PS3?
Yes, I have a PS3. So you can stream it instantly on there?
Yes, the whole season so far.
Sweet.
So check it up on there. Have you been streaming anything on? Have you got it set up to do that yet?
Yeah, they gave me the disc, and I was streaming some of the old, like, British Office and stuff like that, but not too much.
Well, look up Spartacus, and you can check him out. It's awesome. Great show. He went from insanely ridiculous to insanely ridiculous and awesome. And with gravitas, too, so it's awesome.
Gravitas, I love it.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't know if you're hard of hearing.
Huh? Yes. Well, why is everybody being rude to us tonight? What is this?
I love when he stabbed the guy in the leg with the spear, you know, and they showed it going in.
Yeah.
It's like the CGI of it going in.
And sometimes the CGI, it's like, okay, I'm going to let him get away with that horrible CGI right there. So, Sean, thank you for joining us. I think we ought to end the show now. We've been talking forever, right?
Yes, sir.
Best wishes to Bill and his dad. I hope he's feeling better. And, Bill, we'll see you next week. Sean, call in anytime, and I mean that.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Steven. Thanks, Jason.
Keep on listening.
Did a good job with the DVDs there.
Awesome. So, I guess we need to go now because somebody else needs to do the show and take over, right? Stay tuned for another show. No, I got nothing. We don't have programming. What am I talking about?
Stay tuned for live programming.
Later, everybody. See you next week.
Bye.
Hang up right now and transmit the failsafe. Let's move.
Get her out of here now.
Seriously, let's go now.
Now that was gravitas. Thank you.
was nothing. Shit from a whore.
Now this is podcasting.
We now come back for Purdue.
What are you talking about?
What did you say?
That's crazy, and I know crazy.
Off his rocker.
You are blatantly ignorant.
Well.
Eat it, Harvey.
Whatever.
Yeah, boom goes the dynamite. In that movie, Wanted, the guy who's in Parks and Recreation, he says boom goes the dynamite. No, no, no. Does he say boom goes the dynamite? Or is it another thing I always say? Maybe it is boom goes the dynamite. But anyway, I was like, hey, because really, even though I got it from that YouTube video, it's my line. You know, I've made it mine. So when people say it, I'm like, hey, they got that from me, not from the video. Bum, 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 bum. How's it going, Steven?
Good.
Yeah, let's see if I got that somewhere. Let's see how quickly I can do that.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Ah, yes. thanks, Foggy.
That Foggy's on his toes.
Boy, howdy. Let's see. There's this.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Boom goes the dynamite.
Because on an episode of Veronica Mars, Veronica Mars said boom goes the dynamite.
So even she's stealing from you. Or they're writers.
Yes, Lee, there is book club news. We have not yet recorded the show. But I really want to. I do. We're actually doing Wizard and Glass homework. We read the book so long ago that Bill tells me he's like re-listening to the audiobook and stuff. And I've been off and on while looking at the book. And, you know, when we did The Wastelands, we had the book in front of us and we leafed through it like page at a time as we were going through it. And then I was like, okay, we got to stop this. This is going to be the world's longest show. We need to just do this from memory because this is ridiculous. But, you know, we quoted lines of dialogue and stuff like that. But I think we were going too into minutia where it's like, dude, we've got to just like kind of do the Cliff's Notes version.
I can almost read all of them before you guys do this next book.
I know. I've got Wolves of the Callous sitting over there, and I haven't gotten to that. I'm reading a different book. And I kind of want to read...
I picked up Under the Dome for Christmas.
Nice. I want to read that. There's so many I want to read. So many different King books.
It's sitting on my kitchen table, just taunting me.
Yeah. Just start reading it,
look,
man.
How thick I am.
You know what's funny is I had been reading so much Stephen King. You know, I read the book Everything's Eventual that has a bunch of short stories, and then I read Stephen King on writing. I started reading that book called Bone Shaker by this female writer named Sherry Priest, and it was really hard for me to get into. It's like she writes nothing like Stephen King. This is getting on my nerves. And it was, and finally, about 100 pages in, I was like settled into it. But at first, it was really hard because
like,
she doesn't write correctly.
It's
you
like
know?
trying to read Clive Barker after reading a King because he writes proper.
Right.
And Stephen King writes in like.
And it probably didn't help that.
I don't know, what do you call it? Like everyday speak, if you want to say.
Mm-hmm. Very natural.
Very natural. Well, the way people talk.
What's funny about the book on writing is he talks about things that drive him nuts, that people – he hates adverbs like he said angrily, you know, stuff like that. It's just really lazy writing and he doesn't like that. So in the first couple of pages of that book, I was like, oh, I'm spotting those things that drive me crazy and – should it drive me crazy now? And
it's something that should be in like a script only, you know, angrily.
Yeah, so it was
you should
kind
get
of,
it from the context of the reading.
Right, and you shouldn't – Stephen King doesn't like too much description. Like there's a lot as a – you know, reason he says you should read a lot too, like all the time, is because you think about as you read what you use your imagination. How much do you need – to portray a scene in your imagination, how much description of a building or what someone's wearing or what they look like, because the reader needs to fill that part in their imagination. If you tell them too much, it's like, okay, let me just picture it on my own, you know?
I don't know. I mean, his description of like the Pet Cemetery was picture perfect from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's exactly the way I pictured it in my mind.
Oh,
you know,
really?
The way he described it. was nice. Perfect. I mean, and he really kind of just kind of, like you said, he gave it a vague description, you know, it was like all the pets there and then all the graves and stuff that was written on them and stuff that was, that he had written in the book, you know, Biffer Biffer, a hell of a sniffer.
Right. That's
damn, I can't
cool.
believe I remember stuff like that.
No, that's really cool. And, you know, they're talking about The Stand in the chat room. Was on Sci-Fi, the TV movie.
Yeah.
I've never read the book. I've always wanted to read it. And you know what's funny is I had been talking about that show Mercy. Mm-hmm. Do you remember I talked about it? It's like the nurse drama on NBC, how there was an episode with Christopher Moltisanti from The Sopranos. And he had a hand transplant, and it was a pedophile. And he didn't want to keep his hand. So he wasn't taking the meds that he could, so it was rejecting it, and his hand looked like all swollen and gross and veiny, and he wanted to chop it off. But the hospital that basically paid for the operation in order to do a study said he couldn't legally do that because he signed a contract. So they were forcing him to keep the hand that he didn't want. So eventually chops his hand off with a saw, and it's really gruesome. And Lee, I'm hoping the book was better than the TV movie of The Stand. But I was like, this is very Stephen King-ish, the kind of dark story. And I was reading all those different Stephen King short stories. So when I would see these kind of weird, kind of disturbing stories on the show Mercy, it kind of reminded me of Stephen King in a way. Just, you know how, like, I always think of Fringe or Lost. I would always relate it to something from either The Dark Tower or Stephen King. Well, this week I'm watching Mercy, and there's this girl in there. She's really she's sick, and they don't know what she has. And she's like, well, let me get your bag for you and see. She's like, I got a book in there. Will you hand it to me? She's like, Carrie? You're a little young to be reading Carrie. And I'm like, huh? And I like sit up, and she's like, oh, yeah, I really enjoyed the book. And she goes, well, just wait till the ending. It gets pretty crazy. And she goes, oh, it's my third time reading it. And I was like, well, weird. So later on in the show, I'm like, oh, it's cool that they're basically acknowledging Stephen King on the show, which their storylines reminded me so much of Stephen King. So she shows
– he had another story called Mercy Hospital.
Kingdom Hospital.
Kingdom Hospital.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she shows up and she goes, I got you something. She pulls out The Stand. She goes, I saw this and I thought of you. It's like the big hardback. She's like, oh, cool. I always wanted to read this. She goes, I got myself one too. And so they both got the big hardcover. She goes, we could have a book club of two. And they're like, all right. And I was like, huh? So I thought that was pretty cool. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, me and our old friend Gary from MJ's, we had a reading contest, I guess, at one time. You know, we were we were picking up King books and reading them, and essentially it was like we couldn't wait to get to work to talk to each other about what we had read to see who got further.
That's cool. Yeah.
And
that's exciting, though, when you're reading something somebody else is. That's why I want to get back into the book club, because I thought it was really cool that knowing that everybody's reading something at the same time. Hell, everyone's probably finished. Like Lee, have you finished the Dark Tower series, or have you already read it a while back? I don't know. But still, that's cool, you know, because the shows will be sitting there waiting. But I can't wait to do it and move on, for Pete's sakes. I'm getting sick of this.
I still think, you know, obviously Pet Sematary was my favorite, you know.
Really? I've never read that. I read stuff like some of the Bachman books, like Rage, about the kid who shoots up the school. I think that's out of print now, ever since Columbine, I read.
I have it.
But you could probably find it. Well, I was going to say, you could probably find half it on price. Amazon and like old books or whatever, but I wonder if it's worth something. Half-price
books.
Well,
if you can find the original paperback that had Richard Bachman, had nothing tied to Stephen King, I think the original paperback, and this was like 20 years ago, was $150.
Yeah, you know, I was looking around on I wanted to get the paperback of Salem's Lot. And I was telling Bill, I go, hey, maybe I should get this copy. And I sent him the link. It's a hardback edition of Salem's Lot signed by Stephen King for over $5,000. He's like, yeah, that's the one you should get. $5,000.
I have
I don't care that much about
his
signature.
I've got one book signed by him, a limited edition.
Oh, really? Cool. Is it one that you just buy and it was like 5,000 copies or 500 or something?
No. Again, Gary had entered some contest.
Nice.
And he won a chance. to buy a book. You know, you were got thrown in a lottery.
Right.
And his name got drawn. I think it's Desperations. It's one of those.
Desperation.
Yeah.
And is it Desperation Stephen King and Regulators is the
Bachman? I think so, or vice versa. Yeah, I think it's right. Yeah, Regulators was a
It's Bachman. Funny because, you know, my dad works at Half Price Books. That I showed him. I go, look, if you take the covers to each book, the Bachman, the Stephen King, put them together, it's one big picture. He's like, whoa, I've never seen that. And he goes, hey, check this out, to one of his coworkers, and they just went, ugh. And they kind of shook their head like, come on, everybody knows that. It's like, dude, like when it first came out, that was neat. Like, I don't know, 10 years ago or something. But they were just like, the person was just like, oh,
no. We got to think if it was when Gary and I worked together, that's almost 20 years
ago. That was a while ago. I remembered. I remembered it just from it being on the stands or whatever.
But yeah, I mean, mine's in a nice little case. I open it up, and it's, you know, it's assigned and numbered, and I paid almost just under $300 for it.
Lee, you should read Desperation. As far as I understand, it's the alternate. It's basically takes place in the same place, but in an alternate dimension, right?
What does
Regulators and Desperation? It's like. Both in the same spot, but in two different worlds.
I have to read them.
It's kind of strange. It's a cool idea, though. It's pretty wicked. I should probably sign into MSN in case Bill shows up. Hopefully it doesn't lag anything too much.
I've got such a reading list and to get backed into.
You know, it's funny.
All my books have been boxed up for years since, you know.
Mm-hmm. I saw the TV. I don't know if it was made for theaters or movies or what, but I saw the story called, what is it called? Oh, Riding the Bullet by Stephen King. It's a short story. And it was made into a movie by Mick Garris, the same guy who did The Stand. And it's just a simple kind of short story, but he added all sorts of different kind of horror elements that didn't need to be there that were kind of driving me nuts as I watched it. The gist of the story is there, but he tried to kind of play it up too much. Like David Arquette is in it, and there's like jump out shocker moments that really have no place being in it at all. I don't know if maybe the network told him to do that or what, but it's still annoying as hell. It's just like, why are you doing this? You know, because that's not what the story's about. It's not it's about coping with one of your parents dying, basically, is what it's about. But they try to turn it into something like really scary, and it's not at all. It's not supposed to be about that, which is really kind of gay. So it's nice that we had Ted Shackelford with us, Stephen, because we're big fans of Space Precinct.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome show. It's a space cop, basically. Oh my God, the Langoliers! Remember how bad that is. you know what? I'm sure the story is
Balky.
I'm betting the story is awesome. It's the fact that they did early CGI effects of the giant Langolier Pac-Man. You know, kind of gay.
I kind of pictured them differently too, from what the
the way it did. Was it like a simplistic idea of what they would be in the TV movie?
Well, I thought they were simpler in my head than what they did. They were made them all like shiny, you know, didn't like garbage almost, disposal, you know, moving garbage disposal.
Did they make them kind of like fleshy Pac-Man with like chainsaw teeth or something? I'm trying to remember. I haven't seen it in a long time.
I thought they kind of looked like they had was it like a triangular opening mouth, you know, three of them, you know, it was like,
you know, I think about different things.
And you're
like
right. They had the chainsaw teeth that would rotate around.
There's a girl in there that has like psychic ability. Isn't there?
She's blind.
Right.
And she's psychic or kind of, you know, verging on.
I was thinking about this, like the different characters with powers in Stephen King's, like, John Smith from The Dead Zone, you know, Carrie White from Carrie, of course. She had like telekinesis. Yeah, Firestarter. There's this cool story called Everything's Eventual is really cool about this kid with this teenager with a certain kind of power. But I was thinking, like, wondering if like if you think in terms of the Dark Tower, I'm just kind of reaching out here that maybe they all have a kind of destiny, but they kind of fall short. Like poor Carrie, she was just had such a shitty upbringing with her mom and everything that she didn't really get to rise to her full potential. You know, John Smith, he actually saved the world, but nobody knows, which is kind of interesting when you think about that. It's like his ability caused him to save the world from nuclear war, but nobody knows about it. You know what I mean? So it's just like, that's kind of cool. Oh, and also, what's his name? John, you know, from the Green Mile, the, John Coffey. Yeah. His ability there. Like, just think of like, had the circumstances that happened to him didn't happen, like the power that he, you know, I was thinking about this, give this idea to Stephen King. Take each of those tragic characters, pull them out of the reality just before their death, make them into some kind of superhero team in an alternate reality. Awesome. Can you just see that? It'd be like the Avengers, but with Stephen King,
I think Tommy tragic Knocker characters. The chick, the main character, could Danny read minds.
Danny Torrance, too. He had Shining. I don't know if you could really fight with that, though, the Shining power. Yeah, good times.
No, not when your dad's coming at you with an axe.
Yeah, it's funny. I've never read The Shining too, and my sister, you know, Laura, she loves that. And she's like, it doesn't make any sense if you like Stephen King and you haven't read The Shining. He's like, I haven't gone around to it yet, okay? But I will, damn it. And
well, it's like it. You know, bad TV series.
Yeah, I know a lot of this from bad TV. Like, I've actually started reading Christine before the movie came out. That was kind of exciting with that. And I can't remember if I've read Firestarter or if I've read some of Firestarter, but I've definitely seen the movie a million times.
I've got it. I started collecting all the first editions, you know, going around to the bookstores and finding them, and now I'm down to the point where it's the early ones that cost $500 plus per.
See, I don't mind as long as it's – I like the –
until I got money just flowing out of my orifices.
The Dark Tower books, they have the paperbacks with the pictures in them, the larger ones. They also have the small paperbacks. I've been buying the big paperbacks with the pictures in them, which I think are really cool.
I've got the big paperbacks and I've got the hardbacks. I've got all the hardbacks except for the first one.
I found the hardback of Wolves of the Cala, and I almost ordered that, but I was like, I've got paperbacks of all the other ones, so I don't want to have a hardback in there. You know, you know what I mean?
So well, because silly. Grant only published so many, they didn't do a big, giant, full run like they do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they may have started with the later ones, like Wolves of Cala and Wizards of Glasses. I bought mine at a comic book shop because, I mean, they weren't putting it out at the bookstores.
Right.
And the second one, the Drawing of the Three and the...
You know what's interesting about the book?
That's not the Drawing of the Three. Yeah, the two is the Drawing of the Three.
Yeah, the Gunslinger, Drawing of the Three.
The Gunslinger I don't have because...
For whatever reason.
It had come out before, and, you know, they only did a 50,000 run or something.
You know, I've had a few people, like even my aunt, say that I tried to read the Gunslingers, just I couldn't get into it. So it's like, no, you got to force yourself to read it. You got to just keep going, you know? Because I had difficulty early on with the Gunslinger, but it's rewarding. You just got to hang in there, and it's a rich read, I thought. And then when you get to Drawing of the Three, that's just, I think that book's awesome. And then.
Well, I read the first one.
The one thing that drives me nuts is,
I need to reread it.
Is people who's like, I've had a few people like my friend Leonard from high school. He's like, oh, I've read all of them. You know, some people, you know, he's like, Wolves of the Cala. And it's like, no, I don't want to hear your review of it, okay? Mm-hmm. Just let me read the book. It's like, no, okay. But do you want to think? No, I don't want to know what you thought of the overall series. I don't want to know. I just don't want to know anything. Just hold on there, mister.
Yeah, because I started collecting them when, I guess it was before he had the accident. I mean, mm-hmm. and, you know, and then he was like, dude, I got to finish these. What if something happens to me? And, mm-hmm. you know, he was just doing them haphazardly.
What's interesting about Stephen King on writing is that that was the book he was writing when it happened. He goes, this is the part in the book where I had my accident. So I'm going to – so he's like, this is where I started writing again. You know, it's just kind of interesting. And then he tells the story of how it happened and everything. It's really crazy and how he finally eventually sat down and tried to write again. But at first it was excruciating pain because he couldn't sit upright, you know, for long periods of time. Mm. And how – but that voice in his head was like –
Right.
Yeah. And he was like, if I don't start writing, I might forget how, because, you know, you write, you know, you got to keep going. And you, whenever your mind has something, you know, you got to write it down. And that he couldn't do it is kind of like torture, you know. But that was pretty cool the way it went into that.
We're not home right now. If you could leave your name, number, and the time you called, we'll get back to you as soon as we can. Thank you.
Sounds like her.
Yep. Doing that sensual voice.
She was reading.
That's hilarious. All right. Hey, does anybody want to call in and talk to us? You can. Call 818-935-5132. It's the Jason Stevens Show. It's our first ever podcast. It's really cool. We're doing it live.
It's a helicopter crash.
Yeah. The helicopter has crashed. Stephen, what are we going to do on our new show? It's going to be fun. And I'm going to talk about shows and stuff like Jersey Shore. You ever watch that, Steven?
Go answer the phone. Your wife's call.
Hey, it's Rick. Hellos?
Hello.
Good day to you.
Hello there.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Hey, Rick, we see you on video. I wonder if it'll make us live. Hey, hey, Rick, what's up?
Oh,
what
yeah,
a handsome fella.
Relaxing. Sitting down on the computer like I usually do.
How much time do you spend on the computer, Rick? Is it unhealthy?
Yeah. My ass is usually sore from sitting on the chair too much, so every now and then I need to get up and walk around.
Get you a little pillow to sit on. That's what I do.
Do you have a pillow?
Yes, I do. I have a leather chair, and then I have a nice little pillow in there to...
Nice ass pillow.
My ass pillow. Because I do. I spend too much time, too. You see me on the stupid Facebook playing all those dumb games.
Now, Rick, yeah. Does your wife ever say you're on the computer too much?
Well, usually she sleeps a lot, so I can just jump on when she's sleeping. She's sleeping at the moment, but she'll be up soon, and then I'll have to go.
Do you have to pretend like you weren't on the computer or anything like that?
No, it's fine. I can do whatever I want.
Nice, yeah. You can do whatever you damn well please, right?
Yeah.
So what's up, Rick? Have you seen any good movies lately or anything?
I went and saw Alice in Wonderland in 3D.
Oh, how was it?
It was boring. It would have been better if we were on something, but we were pretty sober, so...
No LSD before he walked in.
No, that would have been good, I think, because I don't know what to say about it. Just didn't hold my attention.
What about the Cheshire Cat? Was that cool in 3D?
Oh, yeah. No, he was good. I think he was the best part. I think there should have been more of him and less of Johnny Depp.
You mean Elijah Wood?
Yeah.
He does. Yeah. Why aren't people bringing this up? He looks like Elijah Wood. Come on.
He's all...
It's creepy.
Pale and frail looking.
Yeah. They made him look like Elijah Wood.
Well,
it's
they kept
crazy.
Changing him with his with his emotions. They changed the way he looked.
And, hey, is the White Rabbit CGI? Was that a little much? Did they really...
The whole thing was CGI, so it didn't really make a difference.
I mean, put a little guy in a suit or something, right?
Yeah, you need
get a little fella in there.
Get Warwick Davis.
Yeah, Warwick Davis, get him in there. And Tweedledee and Tweedledum are CGI too, aren't they?
Yeah, and they weren't even in it that much. Like, the guy that played it, he's, you know, fairly funny. But they didn't use him at all. He said, like, two or three lines and... Yeah, kind of underused.
What about the caterpillar? Is that what he was called? Just the caterpillar? He had the
hook. Yeah, the blue caterpillar. Yeah, it was all right. Alan Rickman, wasn't it?
Oh, did the voice. Okay.
Okay.
That's cool.
Yeah.
But was it just...
He was a nothing character as well.
I mean, I don't know. It's like, what do you have... To make Alice in Wonderland, when you were watching, were you like, oh, I see why he made this, because he had this to say about the story. Was it anything like that, or it just seemed like a...
No, it was just like another rehashing of it. It was kind of boring, and, you know, I grew up watching the, Disney version, and that was, better, I reckon.
Did Elfman do the music? Danny Elfman?
I don't know. I didn't have a look at the credits, but...
I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
Generally, he does everything with him, but...
Was Deep Roy in the movie?
Yeah. Was he in it? I didn't notice.
The little weird Oompa
Loompa. He's a little fella. The Oompa Loompa.
He could have been the white rabbit.
it would have been too obvious. It would have been like the beige rabbit with that white makeup.
You put his face through just a white.
He's the beige rabbit.
Look, it's a weird Oompa Loompa in a rabbit outfit.
So
you've been playing Bad Company?
Yeah, I have. I played the single player, which is, the storyline, and then you play multiplayer afterwards, is what I wanted to do. Because the characters in the game are a lot of fun, so I wanted to play the storyline first. And you get to do, handle all the weapons in the game and the vehicles and stuff, so when you play multiplayer, you know what you're doing. It's almost like a nice tutorial on how to work everything.
It's funny, I buy the games and I just never play them.
You got to play it, Steven. Yeah, for the 360. It's also on the PS3, I believe.
Yeah, it just came out at my local Blockbuster today, and no copies are available. But, yeah, I'm thinking about getting a 360 just because you guys are always playing it, and I always feel like I'm missing out.
Now, Rick, Bill was telling me something about, if you don't mind me bringing this up, on PS3 that your name was banned or something, like you had to change it.
Yeah.
I was just curious. What do you have to do to get banned?
Sexual harassment.
Oh dear.
I'll explain what happened. I was just on PlayStation Home. I was on PlayStation Home, just running around with a avatar that looked like me.
Okay.
And then I got a bit bored, and I was like, "Oh, what can I do? I'll make a really ugly girl version." Make her a bit chunkier, put on some tardy clothes, and then I just went around to other people going, do you like how I look? Do I make you horny? Stuff like that. And then the next day when I went to go on, I was like, you've been banned for sexual harassment. so don't run around and ask people. I think the last thing I said was, do I make your PP hard?
Oh.
And I wrote PP, and then I think I asked that to one of the moderators, and
that's not
then
good.
It froze up, and my character got jumped into a corner, and I couldn't move my character around, so I was like, oh, something went wrong, and I just jumped off. Next day I was banned for a month.
They imprisoned your avatar, basically.
Yeah, I heard if you get banned, third strike, you're out.
Oh, wow.
So I've still got a couple strikes left.
Oh, that's good. Just don't ask about pee-pees anymore.
Yeah. It was stupid, but I was just bored that day, so I was just...
You know, when they did that PlayStation Home at first, I was like, oh, I'll check this out, but it's pretty lame, man.
After the first day you play, you just kind of
walk around.
Like, oh, I haven't been on there in months.
Yeah, it's like I'd rather just play a game, you know what I mean?
They do have little mini games in there, but they're just, pale comparisons to games that you could be playing.
Yeah, it's basically what did Bill call it? It was kind of like that one game what is it called? Second Life. Kind of like PlayStation's version of Second Life or something. Interesting.
You got to pay for 360, so that's probably why I haven't got onto the 360 side of things.
Oh, yeah.
You can buy, like, a 13-month pass. Up here, it's like, I found it for, like, 30, what did I say, the last one was, like 36 bucks?
Yeah, like, 36 bucks you can buy a year, so it's not too bad.
Yeah, but now I got to buy another console, and I don't want it, because I've already got one, and
yeah, I understand that.
Consoles.
Like, I just...
You gotta get...
Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, you guys should play PS3s more.
Yeah, I only have, like, two games for it, so that's
what do you have?
The Force Unleashed, and that, God, what is that game called? You know, the Indiana Jones type game with the guy. What is it called? He's got jeans and a shirt, and he's shooting a lot of natives in it. I can't remember what it's called. Drake's Fortune.
Yeah, Uncharted.
Yeah, Uncharted, that's it. Yeah, so I have that. And I played it for a bit. But then, like, 360... Oh, Left 4 Dead 2 came out, and then I started playing that and kind of lost track of it.
Yeah, I want to play that.
So you definitely should pick it up. Hey, I see Bill in the chat room. Maybe it's signs that Bill's come to life, and he will join us soon.
Yeah, I got...
Oh, I'm going to take off, guys.
I essentially got both of my game systems for free, so...
Nice. All right, Rick, thanks for calling in, buddy.
Yeah, no worries. Hopefully I wasted some time for you.
Oh, by the way, Rick, you're now banned. I'm sorry.
You said pee-pee hard again.
Shouldn't have said pee-pee on the air.
Thanks, Rick.
No worries. Have a good show, guys.
All right. Hey, Bill.
Have a good day.
Message me and tell me what's going on real quick, all right? Buddy Roe, now check in, which is... Oh, it's so nice to see, talk to Rick.
It was fun to see him, too.
Yeah, we could see him, too, on a thingamajig. Make sure he didn't mute our mics. All right. Yeah, I'm just waiting to hear from Bill. And if he can't do the show or whatever, that's cool, too. Just I just want to hear from him and tell me what's going on.
Not great. Wish.
Yeah, we should have just kept Rick on for the whole show. What do you say? Hey, Bill, I see in the chat room, are you on MSN or anything? Oh, I see him on Skype. Skypey. Do you want me to call you, Bill? Okay. Let me call you for a minute, Bill, and we'll just get a little update. Hey, Bill, what's up? Oh, it's still calling.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Bill, what's going on? Update on what's going on.
My dad's sick.
Okay.
And he's in a wheelchair, and the sickness involves his bowels, and it's not pretty. So,
oh. Well, you didn't have to tell that much if you didn't want to.
You can edit it if you want to.
Would he care, or?
No.
No, I understand, Bill. It's no big deal. Do you want us to just go on with the show or just...
Yeah, you probably should.
Okay.
Because I'm back and forth. I'm not real... my mind's somewhere else right now.
No,
not
that's
pretty.
That's totally cool, man. No big deal.
All right.
So I'm just going to say, like, if you decide you want to join in at any time, go ahead and call me on Skype or message me on MSN or something. It's no big deal.
Okay.
All right?
All right, guys.
I hope your dad feels better, too.
Yeah, really, me too.
All right, man. Check you laters.
Later.